evergreen.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show. We're going to have a great show this afternoon. Got a cup of fresh hot coffee here. Got the internet going. To all of you listening on the internet, welcome. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. I know there's lots of you on Democrats.com and DemocraticUnderground.com and several other forums. So glad to have you with us today. I do appreciate you joining us for the program. We've got a lot coming up. We've got an author coming up about around 3:20 or so that wrote a great little book you all ought to get. It's called Stop Bush. You're going to enjoy hearing from him. A little later on, we're going to hear from some activists from the Clark campaign. In fact, we're going to hear from one that is in South Carolina as we speak. So they're gearing up there for a great primary season coming up there in South Carolina. It's going to be very, very interesting. A lot of interesting stuff this week. I know many of you listening keep up on the news so very well, and I found so many things interesting this week. At long last, we heard the truth. We now know all about the weapons of mass destruction lie. We know they weren't there. We know if we use our powers of logic and reasoning and use our brains just even a little bit, we know that there wasn't any. Well, we know they knew they weren't there. That's what I'm trying to say. We know they knew. What is the official reason they're given now? They've danced around so much. Is the official reason now that we went in to get Saddam? Is everyone on the right agreed with this? Have we finally settled on that reason? Are you sure it's not weapons of mass destruction? Are you sure it's not to free the Iraqis? Actually, you're not sure of anything, are you? You won't admit it to me. You won't admit it to your Democratic friends and acquaintances. But in your heart of hearts, you know Junior Bush was lying through his teeth when he was telling us about those nasty WMDs Saddam was threatening us with. But some of you continue to remain steadfast in your support of this liar. So let's take a moment and let's examine the logic of using the old "we did it to get rid of Saddam because he's a bad guy" excuse. I say that since we had to get rid of Saddam, we need to get rid of equally nasty guys around the world, and since we've already gotten started on that task, we need to push forward and finish the job, don't you? I mean, if you're all for getting rid of bad guys, let's go to it. Let's start with our good friends, the Saudis. Sure, let's take them out before they use all their unlimited wealth to buy enough arms to cause us serious problems. You know, they could buy enough arms to cause us problems. Their money already financed 9/11. And they have a terrible human rights record, and they already oppress their own people and torture political prisoners who oppose their government. So they certainly have it coming, don't you think? The Saudis certainly would fit on the list of the axis of evil, or however many he wants to put on it. Certainly you right-wing gals out there will want to take them out because of their terrible treatment of women. Women in Saudi Arabia aren't allowed to drive a car. They have to wear the old face mask called an abaya. Same thing as a burqa. Hell, let's kill the Saudi leaders right now. Kill them before they can become more of a threat. And then we need to go on down let's go down to Yemen. They've got a dictator down there named Ali Abdullah Saleh. He's got a little group called the Political Security Office who doesn't mind murdering civilians that don't agree with him. Saleh is a nasty piece of work who some guy ran against one of his people. And he had the guy beaten, had his head shaved, and then had his house bulldozed down. How's that for a nice piece of work? Saleh is really a bad guy, and we need to get him as soon as possible, don't you think? Of course, we don't want to forget the rest of the Gulf states, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar. Let's see who else is there. Oman, Bahrain. All of them torture those who oppose their dictatorships. None of them have elections, and most still deal in slave trading. Did you know that? Hell, we can't stand to have bad guys like that around, can we? No, sir. Let's kill them. And let's not forget our little buddy over in North Korea, Kim Jong-il. He admits he has weapons of mass destruction, so we won't even have to do any inspections or intelligence. He's got them already, and he's an immediate threat to his neighbors and to the United States. Certainly, Junior will want to go after this guy almost immediately. I can't believe we haven't taken him out already, even before Saddam. We've got to get cracking on this one. And as long as we're mentioning bad guys, how about the leaders of some of those former Soviet Union states? You know, all those ones you can barely pronounce their names down there in the southern part of the Soviet Union. You got Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, who else? Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Azerbaijan. Have I listed them all? I think so. You know, you talk about a bunch of really bad eggs. These guys are all using former KGB agents to spy on anyone who disagrees with their politics. And lots of times, people who oppose them are found dead or come up missing. There's all kinds of neat torture going on, including lots of severe beatings and electric shots and shocks and threats of rape. And just like our friend Saddam, the leaders of these countries live in splendor, while their subjects, or rather citizens, live in squalor and poverty. And who could forget the leaders of Iran, Lebanon, Syria? Torture, human rights violations, and murder all over the place. We got to get rid of those guys right away because of the turmoil they're going to cause in the area. Of course, there's some bad guys heading up governments in Africa, too, but we're going to have our hands full first. We got to keep our priorities straight. So for all of you out there who are now insisting that we went into Iraq because Saddam was a bad guy, I'm sure you'll agree that going to war against all those I just mentioned is a great idea. And it's important to the welfare of our nation, isn't it? After all, Mr. Bush said we needed to get rid of Saddam immediately, so I'm sure you're going to agree that we wasted too much time already in getting rid of these guys in these countries I just mentioned. You do want to be consistent, don't you? You do want your president to be consistent. We do want to show the rest of the world that what we said about taking Saddam out is the truth. We don't want them to think we were lying. We took him out because he's a bad guy. Let's take out the rest of the bad guys. It only makes sense. Well, okay then, let's get to it. I mean, let's get to it. If that's what you want to do, why not? Are you going to back a war wherever the guy wants to go? Come on. I'd like to hear from all of you that believe the lies this week. You know, I heard the right-wing radio people cranking out all the Republican right-wing talking points this week. They were all in unison. You can tell they all read from the same paper every day, Hannity and Rush and what was it, Gallagher and who else? Anyway, you know, all those right-wing radio guys, there's tons of them. Take your pick. They were all talking the same thing. Oh, we had to get rid of Saddam because it's a bad guy. And, of course, they're trying to say now that Bush never said it was an immediate threat, and blah, 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 blah. You know the truth if you just think about it. If you just go catch up on all the news, all the reports, all the quotes from what all these people have said, then you'll know what I'm saying is true. All he's doing is, he's throwing new lies after old ones right now. He wouldn't be the first president to ever lie to us, don't get me wrong. But he's been so brazen about it. It's just amazing how brazen they've been about it. You know, affecting war, peace, social security, public health, even the survival of the planet. The guy lies his ass off every time he gets up and talks to us. But a lot of you, you're not making him accountable. Not accountable at all. No one makes him account for what he says. The press has left him totally alone. We know Colin Powell had that speech all ready for the UN. We know what a farce that was now. But, you know, it's amazing to me that a lot of people are even turning on David Kaye now. He was the guy, remember? Oh, David Kaye says we're going to find this, and David Kaye says we're going to find that. You remember when the administration was barking that out? Yeah, David Kaye's going to find all this stuff. Well, he's told you what he found. What do you think now? Do you think it was all right for your president to say they have all these weapons of mass destruction, and when he didn't have them? You know what they knew. You know Bush was going to the CIA every week. You heard Ray McGovern right here on this program, former CIA agent, saying how Cheney was going to the CIA every week, and they were massaging and tweaking this intelligence. Now, don't try and blame this on the CIA. Don't try and blame it on our intelligence. Oh, sure, they might have made a few mistakes along the line. They very well might have. But they had help. They had help. They wanted this intelligence to say what they wanted to hear, not what it actually said. We got some callers on the line. Let me see here. Who do we have? We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Yeah, the Bush administration, they didn't talk about immediate threat. They just kept mentioning that funnel cloud. I don't know what that was supposed to mean. That's what scared everybody out of bed.
Oh, yeah.
I am very upset about something in the news this week. I know that the Republicans have never been a champion for the working people, but now the real disdain for working people, and I very much encourage conservatives to call in, because Guy will give you time to discuss this. But now, in an attempt to take away our overtime pay, the Republicans are figuring out a way to study our veterans and find out what technical training they're getting, because if they can add up enough technical training from the military that they can use that against our returning veterans who were eligible for overtime but now won't be eligible for overtime because they went overseas to stick out their neck to save us. And I would like to hear a conservative call you and tell you why that's a real American idea.
Well, you're exactly right, and not only have they done that, they've got the Department of Labor. Here's a department of our government that's supposed to help and protect the working man of the United States of America. And what are they doing? They're sending out notices to employers on how to avoid paying overtime, how to avoid it, how to get around it. Is that what the Department of Labor ought to be doing?
This is very sick. I mean, we have a lot of wealthy people in our country, and I say let them even get more wealthy. I don't care. But this is capitalism, and there's a place for people that are wealthy, and many of them are very smart people. They can invent things. They can make jobs. But there's also a place for people who are blue-collar people who will never invent anything, but they show up to work, and they can go into the middle class because of things like minimum wage, unions, and overtime. And if the Republicans plan to take that all away from us, they themselves, the conservatives, are going to destroy capitalism. And my blood pressure is going off. I got to get off, Guy, and thanks for your program.
Okay. Thanks so much. Bill, absolutely right. Absolutely right. These people have no conscience. They really don't have a conscience. They're looting the treasury. They're looting the pockets of the middle and poor class. It's a mess. It's a real mess. Right now, we've got a guy on the line I've been looking forward to talking to. We've got Mike Dobbins on the line. Mike is the author of a new book out called Stop Bush, How Every Citizen Can Help, by Michael Dobbins. And I've read this book. I got to tell you, it's a great book. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Guy, for introducing me to Florida.
Well, glad to have you along. You're listening not just to Florida, but we're on the Internet as well.
Oh,
and you're,
awesome.
People all across the country and around the world are listening to the program right now. So I've read your book, Mike, and I'm impressed. Let me just state for the audience that this is a straightforward book from a guy that, in my opinion, has not been a lifelong Democrat. He's not been a liberal. But here's a straightforward look from a guy with a good, he's got a great mind, and he knows how to put this story out in good, readable terms and makes a lot of common sense. You need to read this book.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really what I wanted to do, get it so people could understand it. Yeah.
Well, it's very understandable, and it's an easy read. It hits home. There are so many great quotes in the book that things that you've said. It's just something that. Well, tell us all. Tell what caused you to write this book, Mike?
Well, I've been a left side liberal. I've done some stuff with the Green Party and stuff before, and for Democrats, and well, watching the Bush administration implement their vision of this world. Everything I heard you talking right before I came on the air, it's looting the Treasury. It's, you know, making the departments that are supposed to work for us in environment and labor working, doing the exact opposite. And the last straw was the war in Iraq. That's what really made me want to do something more and get this book out to people so that they could start learning about the ways they could take action.
And actually, to all of our listeners, Mike really lists in here how you can and should get involved. He's actively been involved before, and actually I think you're, have I got this right, you're kind of taking a hiatus from your career right now to work at this?
Yeah, that's totally true. I quit my job last June to finish writing the book. I dedicated an entire month straight, morning till night, writing this book to get it out as soon as I could, and just wanted to get this out there and at the same time get a website, which is same name as the book, Stop Bush in 2004, out there so people could have access to ways to take action if they can't afford the book, you know, just so that they could still take action.
Right now, before I forget, and we'll try and do it again when we end our conversation, tell them, Michael, how to get your book.
Yeah, well, the best way is online through the online websites like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BookSense, which is the independent bookseller. And maybe their local bookstore will be able to order it, too. It varies from bookstores. But right now, it's just online. And it's called Stop Bush in 2004.
You got that, everybody? Stop Bush in 2004 by Michael John Dobbins. Write that down. You do want to get this book. Believe me, you really do. It's common sense. It's absolutely great. We talked to Mike earlier in the week. Our producer did, and we got to find out all about the book, and he sent us one, and I tell you, I can't recommend it enough. It's a book that you surely will want to see. Mike, well, I want to add to your credibility here. You're not some flaming liberal. You're not some lifelong Democrat like I've been. You actually were a Naderite in the last election. Is that true?
Yeah, it was. I volunteered, supported Nader. I was... guess I was a little bit turned off by the corporate control of the influence that I've seen on the, not just the Republican, but on the Democratic Party, and I was turned off by that. I wish I could see more corporations get out of politics. That was my big thing with supporting Nader. I do realize that it was a mistake, and I publicly say that I wish I'd supported Gore because I never realized how horrible the Bush administration would be.
I'd like to see all the corporations out of all politics.
Yes.
That'd be the best way. These politicians wouldn't want to see my version of the campaign finance reform because there wouldn't be any campaign finance. You wouldn't be raising big money like they're doing now.
No. That's the perfect way. That's how it should be.
I think the networks out of all. Ought to all give them some time, each and every viable candidate. I think the newspapers ought to give them a column now and then. And that's it. Forget it. Some radio ads, PSAs, if you want to call them that, for each of the candidates, but forget the money. And I think that would clean up a lot of things. But you know as well as I do, that would keep a lot of guys from running, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it would.
Yeah, it would sanitize politics.
Now, the corporations wouldn't let that happen. I don't know. I'm starting a campaign perhaps in the next month or two on my website. For people who are interested, it will be focused on boycotting corporations who are favoring Republicans. This is just a start.
What is that website?
StopBush2004.com.
Got that, everybody?
Yeah. And so I'm trying to get this movement started next month or two to just focus on the corporations that are donating about 80% of their funds to Republicans and 20% to Democrats. Not that I want them to give more to Democrats. It's just a start to get them... not give money at all.
Yeah, you're right. It runs about 80-20. And, you know, Democrats' hands are dirty, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've just never seen it so overwhelmingly obvious as it is right now. It's actually in your face.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Every bill that's being written and thought about being passed is just backed by corporations. Pharmaceutical, medical, Medicare, of course, the energy bill. It's just, it's preposterous.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Mike, I was in Washington and sat on some meetings just a couple of weeks ago. with some of the senators, and we were talking about that very thing. And they were telling me that there's 135 more lobbyists on the Hill than there are legislators.
Oh my God!
That's absurd. And I think since that time I found out they were being a little bit conservative with their numbers. So, you know, they're outnumbered.
Oh, completely outnumbered. But what I've really enjoyed this last fall, winter, and this coming spring, what we're seeing from the Democrats, and I'm sure you've been talking about in your show, is the populist message coming from our candidates, which is just awesome. And they're all John Edwards. I love his Two Americas thing that he's talking about, which is so true. And Howard Dean's message of taking back America, getting people empowered. This is really, really great for our party.
Well, you put it so well in your book. I believe it said people equals power, plain and simple. And it can't be any more plain than that. People equals power.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got to make sure that people get involved. We got to make sure they put away the apathy that they've had and not keep sticking their head in the sand. You know, how many do you know, Mike? And I know a lot of people that some of my dear friends, oh, I don't care about that stuff. They're all the same, and it doesn't make any difference, and I'm not going to vote. That just is stupid. I know a lot of people like that.
Oh, I know many, many people like that, many more people like that than I do who are actually politically active.
I will tell you this, though, Mike. This past week, I've had two of my friends who are devout Republicans.
Yeah.
After this revelation by David Kay, have come to me and said, "Well, that's it.
That's it.
I've stayed the course. I've stayed on. I've held my nose at times, but I can't do it anymore. I can't vote for him again." So, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great sign. Finally, all these things are finally coming to fruition to the public. All the things that we said a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, finally they're coming out so more and more people can see it.
Well, we've said all along his arrogance was going to get him.
Yeah.
And they've been in your face arrogant with all these lies. You know, these cute little things they did, like call the Clear Skies Initiative. I love that one. I'm trying to think of, the No Child Left Behind. That's a great one, where they didn't pass it and got their pictures taken and didn't fund it.
Yeah.
Just several of these things that, the energy dependence bill. All these things were a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they make good photo ops.
Oh, exactly. He's trying to be Reagan, but he's doing a horrible job at it.
Well, even from a liberal's point of view, this guy can't wear Reagan's shoes. No way. Mike, it's so good to have you along with us today. I want you to tell us again where you can get the book.
Yeah, it's StopBushIn2004.com. I got links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble from my website there. Your local bookstore, if you want to support your local independent bookstore, they should be able to order it from their computer. And feel free to go to my website and look at all the different stuff there.
Okay, Mike. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's you guys.
I appreciate it. I'm going to talk to you here in the near future. I'll be giving you a call.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Dobbins, author of Stop Bush in 2004. You got to get this book. You got to get it. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. Of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held. Until every battle's won and every song is sung. Until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
Alcoholism within the family is a lot of work. You struggle to cover up the problem. You put all your energy into avoiding conflict. You focus on hiding the problem from others and yourself. But sooner or later, you discover that all you've done is paint yourself into a corner. That's why there's Al-Anon for families and friends of alcoholics. If someone's drinking is affecting your life, there is help.
Call 888-4-ALANON. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James back with you. I'll tell you, I am hot this week. I am absolutely hot. I'm enraged is what I am. Of all the things I've heard this week from the Bush administration, oh, my God. You know, this had to be one of those weeks in the White House where they sat around and every time they heard the news, they said, oh, blankety blank. They must have said that a bunch of times because there were so many detrimental things that came out against the Bush administration this week. David Kaye, you know, he's their guy. He's been their guy all along. And there's not a thing they can say bad about him. I mean, he's been their guy. And yet, here he comes with this information. Wow, devastating. Hey, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Diane. Diane, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. I'm more astonished in that people are shocked by all this, you know, because, I mean, it's typical in my eyes. I think it's a little late coming out, really. But, no, I called C-SPAN the morning that we were going into Iraq and said we're rushing into war for their contracts, their no-bid contracts, and for the oil. And as for Afghanistan, there you go to poppy fields again. Why are people blaming fundamentalists? They're called fundamentalist Muslims for the World Trade Center towers. I want to hit on this because I've been watching the commission, the board on C-SPAN this week, and I'm telling you, what a laugh. They're showing what supposedly was left over from the crashes into the World Trade Center towers of partial passports of these so-called terrorists. That were aboard the planes and playing little 911 tapes and that. But the thing is, there is no way possible, people, think about this. When you've got a plane crash going into that building and it's an absolute inferno of 2,000 degrees, that melted steel, they're going to find passports in this. Where's people's minds?
Well, there's lots of papers that didn't burn up in that thing.
Well,
lots of them.
Until you get into the Skull and Bone Society, you're not going to understand any of this, of what's going on. I urge people, read the book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones, by Chris Milligan. Go to madcowprod.com. Go to rents.com. And wake up, America, because you're in the 1930s Germany right now, and you're not aware of it. You're in denial of what's coming up. Hitler has not died. I mean, maybe physically, but his spirit's living on because of the Hegelian thinking of this society. And the guy that you just had on about Stop Bush, I'm with his plate, but I still find him very naive, because I'm telling you right now, Al Gore was a skull and boneser. Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Dick Cheney, they're all, and so is John Kerry. Now, these people live in allegiance under the Deer Island Corporation. They're all on the same side. They're all for the same plate. They're only running against each other to play people for fools, to make it look like we're still having an election when we're not. That's why I'm for Wesley Clark. He's an honest man. He's not a part of the Skull and Bones. Why do you think they have Skull and Bones? It's because of the pirate ships, remember the emblem, and because of poison and toxin. Why do you think all over the world, our greatest microbiologists are dying. Mysterious deaths everywhere.
Well, I can't answer that, Diane.
Well,
I think you're getting a little too technical for us.
Well,
I can't say that I agree with you about some of the people you said I happen to know weren't in Skull and Bones. I know Ronald Reagan wasn't in Skull and Bones. I know Dick Cheney is in Skull and Bones. Some of them you mentioned were not. So, hey, we got to move on. We got to get on to our next caller. Thanks very much for calling, Diane. We've got our London Bureau on the line right now. We've got Scott in London. Scott, welcome to the program. Ah, listen to that sound.
Business. It's the London Bureau. It's Scott Alexander Young reporting from London, where it's about 20 minutes to 9 on a Saturday evening. Guy, it's nice to be back in civilization. How are you tonight?
Well, great. We've been looking forward to your report.
I've been away for a long time. I'll get to that in a minute. That lady just reminded me of we have someone in the UK whose name is David Icke, and he used to be a BBC broadcaster, and he's written several books where he posits this conspiracy theory that the world is run by a secret club, which includes George Bush and Al Gore and numerous other people that she mentioned, and they are actually descendants of an alien race that arrived in Mesopotamia about 3,000 years ago, and apparently, according to his theory, we're blinded and cannot see the fact that they all have 9-foot tails.
I haven't seen those tails either.
Race of lizards. So whilst I think it is good to look behind the propaganda, I also think you can take conspiracy theories too far. It's been a busy week in British politics, but I only arrived back, a few days ago into this country.
Where have you been?
And the reason I've been out of touch, I've been in Hungary. I've been in Budapest, where I've been shooting a film of my own creation, sort of self-funded, and I'm producer and writer and make the coffee and several other things as well. I'll give you a website at the end of our little chat if people want to have a look at the film kind of thing. But I thought I'd start by telling you about what I've seen in the papers since I've come back.
Yes.
This week the Hutton Report was released, of course.
And we heard a good deal about that here.
Yeah, I bet you did. And Lord Hutton is now being branded as Lord Whitewash after this report. And it was poetically apt that at about the same time as he started delivering his report, the snow started falling in London. It doesn't actually snow that often in London, but as he was sitting in the Old Bailey courts, we started getting a dusting of snow, which seemed appropriate for a whitewash that just went on and on and on. If Alistair Campbell, the speechwriter, had written it himself, or if Tony Blair had written it himself, they couldn't have been more happy with the results of the report. And it was as if, he hadn't heard any of the same evidence that we had heard week in, week out. And I think that a lot of people felt like their innocence, like a loss of innocence in a way, because I think a lot of people expected him to be impartial. But he turns out that he's very much the figure of the establishment, and which was obvious from the start that he was a figure of the establishment, but he was going to toady to the desires of Tony Blair and his gang of crooks. But the impartiality and the quality of reporting that we have in British media remains the same. The day that I got back, there was an interesting cover of The Independent, which is George W. Bush and the Real State of the Union. And it gives figures such as 501, which is the number of American servicemen to die in Iraq from the beginning of the war so far. 0, number of American combat deaths in Germany after the Nazis surrendered to the Allies in May 1945. Mm-hmm. 1983, the year in which Donald Rumsfeld gave Saddam Hussein a pair of golden spurs.
Jeez, yeah. Yeah.
16,000, approximate number of Iraqis killed since the start of the war. 10,000, approximate number of Iraqi civilians killed since the beginning of the war. 10, number of solo press conferences that Bush has held since the beginning of his term. His father had managed 61 at this point, and Bill Clinton 33.
Well, let's be fair here, Scott. If you were his handlers, would you put him out in front of the cameras any more than you had to?
No more than I absolutely had to. He must have, I guess he's got some kind of folksy appeal, and people watch him, and maybe they figure that you know, he's a guy that I'd like to have pot roast with. And I think that in a television age, you know, he's a television president, and that's why they chose him in the first place. But we're looking, I guess, hopefully people are looking for a little bit more substance here. In the media, I mean, there is absolutely no surprise at all. There is surprise, but there is almost no backing for the findings of the Hutton report. And the media certainly isn't treating this as, saying that, you know, Tony Blair can now wash his hands and walk away.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Didn't you think it was odd that the Hutton report and the David Kay things both happened at the same time?
Well, I think that possibly because of the date, I think, had been set for the Hutton report for a long time. So it is even possible that that they had decided to, or David, you know, there'd been some backroom machinations, hopefully not involving guys with 9-foot lizard tails, but and that David Kay's decision had come about. You could be right. The timing could have been significant.
I mean, this administration times everything. They time all their press releases on Friday, and they're very, very, very good about that. Very sophisticated.
Well, there was one statistic that I didn't quote in the Independent because it only came out recently, and that is that 16% of the British population believe Tony Blair and his government, and believe that the Hutton report was fair. And a significant 80%, there's I think 4% undecided, but 80% of the British public believe that they've been lied to. So I think he is a Teflon Prime Minister. You know, he's managed to get to escape an enormous amount of blankety blank and come through. But I suspect that even though, I don't think there'll be a snap election or anything like that, but I think that he'll be out next time. Hard to say, but just that's the opinion of the man of the street, is that they're sick of it, sick of being lied to. It just looks more and more transparent all the time. But of course, they're all gloating, and it's rather sickening to watch them all, Alistair Campbell and Jack Straw and... Jack Straw is a British foreign minister.
Sure.
They were talking to him about weapons of mass destruction, and he said he still believes, he maintained, that they're going to find them. And this is one of his anecdotes that he used as kind of anecdotal evidence or, you know, just as support of this thesis, was the fact that he said that after World War II, in Japan and on some islands, they found these, you know, little pockets of resistance still going sometimes as much as 40 or 50 years later.
Yeah.
So, there might be some traveling sharabank that'll pop up in somewhere in Yemen or something with a couple of test tubes in it 50 years from now.
My father was in the Pacific Theater, and he was still in for a couple of years after the war was over, and he was on the island of Guam, and... their garbage cans were getting raided at night, and they finally found out that it was the Japanese who were hiding up in the hills who were starving to death, and they came down to raid the garbage cans. So they had to get the news to these guys that the war was over. So they start wrapping their garbage in newspapers that had Japanese on them about the war being over, and one by one they started coming down and surrendering then. Just a little side note there.
Oh, goodness, that's funny. One thing that's also getting coverage here is, probably not as much as it would be in the United States, but people are interested, of course, in the Democratic primaries. And it's been a while since we talked, I wondered, did you have a favorite, or is there anyone you particularly support?
I have not endorsed anybody yet, nor will I. Until we pick our candidate, I guess it wouldn't be fair for me to do so, because I've got listeners that love Dean, I've got listeners that love Clark, I've got Kerry, people love Kerry and Kucinich and all of them. So I'm just gonna stay out of that. I will say this, every single one of them, every single one of them is more qualified and more able to be president of the United States than this guy we got in the office right now.
Well, politics, especially on a big scale, obviously is a pretty dirty game, and these guys are going to do what it takes to win. One thing that I think that you can see that there is almost kind of a united front, that they are putting the same message across. I think Kerry's speechwriters have articulated it best with that phrase, bring it on. And turning it back on George Bush, but they are all calling him to account for this, for what's been done in the name of national security, and kind of, you know, while people haven't been looking, as the American public has been hoodwinked. Lord Hutton. And it was this journalist, her name is Alison Pearson, had written some of his summing ups. Imagine some of his summing ups on different historical cases. If Lord Hutton had been there to judge Pontius Pilate. I can find no fault with Mr. Pilate's decision to pass judicial sentence on a known troublemaker. He was clearly compassionate towards the prisoner's case and indeed made repeated recommendations that he be released. Yet in the end, he followed departmental procedure and acceded to etc., etc. Richard Nixon, I am satisfied that in ordering the burglary of the Watergate Hotel, the president was motivated by only the highest concerns for national security. The assassination of Caesar. Having consulted all the relevant authorities as to the forensic testimony, I have come to the conclusion that all the conspirators, except for Mr. Brutus, were motivated by envy of Caesar. I believe that Mr. Brutus was acting in the best interests of his country.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice little historical summing up. So, I mean, I think people were shocked that it was such an obvious whitewash. But I suppose the good news is that on a public level, nobody believes it. The bad news is that one of our great institutions here, the BBC, is on shaky ground because the chairman and the head of news both resigned.
Right.
They both fell on their swords, and I don't really feel that either of them should have done. And there've been big protests outside the BBC, and a lot of journalists, and not just journalists. I mean, I've got a friend who works in the comedy department, the comedy rooms of the BBC. They're out picketing outside and making their feelings known. So the report may be a whitewash. But,
well, the BBC will survive.
Scott, hopefully, yes.
Scott, we got to stop for a break. I thank you so much for reporting in on the London Bureau.
My pleasure.
I'm glad you're back from your assignment, and we'll talk to you soon.
That'll be great. Thank you. Thank you. And if anyone wants to look at my film, it's scottayoung.com is the website for that.
Scottayoung.com.
Scottayoung.com, and hopefully I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Let me give you a couple of phone numbers if you'd like to call in. We got a couple of lines open. 888-602-7500. Or 7501, 7502, 7503, and 04. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. So give us a call. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
The wood from which tree clad America's Revolutionary War sailing ship, Old Ironsides. A tree that can live well over 100 years. Go to the Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, to answer your questions about trees.
Taste the breeze, it's life inside you. Make a promise to the earth.
Live oak wood clad Old Ironsides, which British warships could never sink. And once planted, sturdy live oaks can live for well over a century. Go to arborday.org for whatever you need to know about trees. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are right for planting where you live. See how to plant trees to help clear the air and protect the land. That website again is arborday.org.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
One out of four Americans have kidney or urologic disease. Half of all men have prostate disease. These conditions claim thousands of lives. Hello, I'm Robert Wagner. Real life isn't like the movies with happy endings. Learn about what can threaten your life. Don't dare take risks with your health. Diabetes, high blood pressure, and race increase your risk. Get the facts. It could save your life. Call the Kidney and Urology Foundation at 1-800-633-6628.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James with you, coming to you from Paradise here in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers. We're in the Fort Myers, Naples, Venice, Punta Gorda. Of course, we got the beautiful islands, Sanibel and Captiva, and all the way down to Key West we get our signal. So glad to have you with us on Power Talk 1200 here this afternoon. I do want you to call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. So we got toll-free lines for you to call. You call on my nickel, okay? A lot going on this week. What I want to know is, where's the apology? Huh? Where's the apology? Would you not think that if the President of the United States gets up and tells you a flat-out lie about something this important, that he'd have to, if he was a man, he would come in front of the American people and say, the buck stops here, this is my fault? I haven't heard him say anything, have you? If it was the, if he truly thinks that it's the intelligence fault, I haven't seen him fire anybody, have you? Cheney was involved in this intel. He's still around. Condoleezza Rice, she's still around. CIA, Tenet's still around. He hasn't fired anybody, has he? Huh, wonder why. Wonder why he hasn't fired the CIA leader right now. I wonder why. I think I know why. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones right now. We got John in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon yourself, sir.
A pleasure listening to you. A couple of questions, if I could, because you seem to have a pretty good handle on things. Am I right or am I wrong that one of the purposes of going to war in Iraq was to stop the terrorism and defeat al-Qaeda?
That's right.
That is correct, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Then can you tell me, if we were so successful, as I heard from our esteemed president, why are 8 flights being canceled this weekend by European Airways, the French, and the British?
Absolutely. It makes you wonder who's winning this thing.
I mean, were we successful?
Yeah, I wonder too. I've said all along, I think for now we're the losers in this.
I mean, this was what was supposed to be so successful on this. And you mentioned the lies. I mean, here we are. I mean, over 500 American troops dead. Of course, the mission was accomplished months ago. I heard that when the aircraft carrier, president landed on the aircraft carrier in his flight suit.
Yeah, and then denied later on that they'd set that whole thing up with that sign, mission accomplished, and all, said the White House had nothing to do with it, and then we find out later that the White House set up the entire thing.
Well, that was obvious.
Just one more lie.
I mean, I don't understand the question on that. I mean, those are questions that I have just wondering out here. Here's another thing I'm wondering, Guy, if you can enlighten me. I'm listening to all the talk shows, and I listen to a talk show 5 days a week here. I listen to the national talk shows. Nobody seems to be upset but me about the escalating price of gasoline.
Hey, guess who's winning that one? Once again, we've lost. The price of gas. Is there any rhyme or reason right now for gas going through the roof?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm asking. Why is nobody upset about this? I mean, does this affect our economy?
Well, every working man that has to drive to work every day is upset about it, but the people in charge, the powers that be, the people that do influence the oil market, they're not upset one bit.
Well, then you hear about the conflicts with Bechtel, Halliburton, the money they're making in Iraq. Is that accidental?
Absolutely not. You know, we find out now that some of these contracts for Halliburton and so forth were all but signed a couple of years ago. So they had everything ready to roll even back then, these no-bid contracts. They knew they were going in a couple of years ago, and they had these boys all ready. So no surprise there. You know, Cheney, likes to say that he has no involvement with Halliburton anymore.
That was
anymore.
My next question.
Yeah.
Is there any connection, or is that my imagination?
Well, I don't have that in front of me right this minute, but let me see if I do. I'm going to get to that in a little while about Cheney denying that he doesn't have any involvement with Halliburton anymore. He's in Halliburton up to his ears. You know, for the guy to just sit there and deny that, you know, he's not getting any money from Halliburton anymore and all that. Somewhere around here, I've got some notes on that, John. I'm going to bring that up a little later about Cheney. Cheney's, you know, he's the champion liar, probably out of the whole bunch. He's number one.
The thing I also don't understand is the average. I hear so many people calling up again. There's 5 days a week we have local talk radio on a sister station of this one, and it's quite right-wing, especially some of the callers who wind up defending this president. Am I the only one who sees a connection with the escalating oil prices and the Bushes and the Cheneys, or is this just all accidental?
Well, I listen to programs too, John, and I actually heard one caller call into a local program this weekend, and this past week, rather, and threaten to write to the owners and managers of the company and have the guy that was on talking fired because he dared bring up the fact, you know, this whole thing about David Kay. Actually he said he was going to... I mean, this guy was hot, called in and said they shouldn't even be discussing this. How dare you cause us to doubt the President of the United States? Last time I looked, we could doubt anybody we wanted to. I don't know.
No, I have a feeling we can't. I mean, I think that's one of the things that's disappearing. And then, am I right that the President said, after all of the said and done with the question of intelligence, he might have some questions, but he didn't want an investigation?
Yeah, yeah.
Why no investigation?
Once again, they don't want an investigation. Would you want an investigation if you were in his shoes? No, I don't think so. Hey, here we go. I found this thing about Cheney.
Oh, great.
Quote,
you mean my question isn't so far afield?
Not in my opinion. Cheney says, and I quote, the government had absolutely nothing to do with Halliburton's success, with my being there, and government contracts went up enormously to Halliburton while he was there. And he also said, I wouldn't know how to manipulate the government process if I wanted to. A report by the Washington Center for Public Integrity suggested that Halliburton essentially cashed in, doubling the value of its government contracts on Cheney's watch. And, you know, on and on and on. Cheney is up to his ears, again, claiming he doesn't get any money from Halliburton anymore. He still owns 433,000 stock options. He still gets $150,000 a year besides the $20 million bailout golden parachute he got. Come on.
Well, you know, these are the same people who call up. Are the same people who condemn Bill Clinton day after day, the slick Willie lines, talking about the dishonesty of the Democrats and the liberals. There's one caller who calls up regularly and does that. And they're the same people who will defend the Bushes and the Cheneys and Halliburton and Bechtel and pay the gasoline prices without question. What I don't understand is, where is the thinking of these people?
Well, I know, John.
How do they sleep at night?
I know. Wait, hey, John, I have to let you go. We got to stop
at
the top of the hour for news.
And
I agree with you.
I appreciate the chance to get to ask.
I agree with you. I agree with you. How do they sleep at night? And, hey, when Clinton lied, I was right there. Yeah, he lied. Doesn't mean a damn thing, but he lied.
He didn't affect the lives of people.
Nope. Got to go, John.
How many people have died?
John, I got to go. It's the top of the hour. Thanks very much. It's time for us to. We're going to break for the news at the top of the hour. Don't forget, you can call us at 888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I do expect you to call us. We've got a couple lines open. And to those of you hanging on, just wait. We'll be back right after the news. You're listening to The Guy James Show on Power Talk 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show.
You've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you at Power Talk 1200 WPTK Fort Myers, Florida. And once again, give out those numbers. They keep telling me to give out those numbers. So here they are. Toll free, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Hey, how about the lie of the week? Huh? I mean, there's so many. I know it's hard to pick from. But just a couple of days ago, Bush made an amazing statement at a press conference. He was claiming that while we were talking about going to war, Saddam refused to let UN inspectors into Iraq. Huh? How's that for a total lack of reality? And not only that, that's the second time he's made this crazy claim. So where's the media on this? Why didn't somebody catch that? I mean, if I watch it and know it, there's got to be some media people watch it and know that he actually said that Saddam refused to let the weapons inspectors in right before we went to war. Huh. Person has sent me this. Wonders whether or not he's back on the booze. I don't know. I can't tell you that, but certainly seems like at times. And do you remember talking about the press, how they always say that the liberals are ahead of all the news media? Well, you remember how they condemned the Democrats a couple of weeks ago for saying Iraq wasn't safer now that Saddam was gone? Do you know that the deaths for the month were higher after the month after Saddam was captured than they were, I've been talking of American soldiers, the deaths were higher the month after than they were the month before? I hardly think that is a reason to criticize media for pointing out the absolute truth. We've got callers on the line. We've got Marlene in Kentucky. The rest of you, be patient, we'll be with you very shortly. Marlene, welcome to the program.
Hi, a frigid Saturday to everybody. It's 3 below here in Kentucky.
Oh, don't
morning.
Talk like that.
Oh, you just reminded me when you were saying about Bush saying things. Remember his trifecta speech?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you, every time I think of 9/11, I think back to my gut feeling I had right after, like, tomorrow we're going to be speaking a different language, was, oh, boy, here we go. There won't be any Medicare. There won't be any education. Well, Bush did hit a trifecta. He's being honest because now he can undercut all these social programs. He can accomplish what Newt Gingrich's Contract on America did not. He could say, we're too busy spending all this money making war on everybody, and we're not going to, you know, no more Social Security, no more Medicare, no more, you know, no more public schools. You can all go to, we're going to have the American Taliban. We're going to be having kids going to parochial schools.
You know, Marlene, coming up a little later today on a few minutes of Republican Love, I got a letter that you must hear. You must hear this letter coming up on Republican Love today because it does right along those lines you're talking about, how we just do too much for all these folks, you know.
Well, I have one more thing to say about the media. Any DUers that want to talk about a class action or antitrust lawsuit against the media, they need to have ratings or something. We've got all these people listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and they think that that's the truth.
Rush Limbaugh.
And then we've got another media that ABC is the only one that owned up to that Dean Scream thing.
Yeah.
That microphone filtered out background noise. That's the only reason that scream was so loud.
Well, Marlene, you mentioned Rush Limbaugh. Certainly people aren't listening to him. He's that drug junkie from over on the East Coast, isn't he?
Well, people, I don't know. I'm not sure any ditto heads will stop being ditto heads.
Oh, no. That guy's stoned on drugs. He's been in rehab 2-3 times. No, I didn't know anybody listened to him anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It's like somebody said about Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can have 3 or 4 people having an orgy and smoking pot and every other thing as long as you run as a Republican.
Well, I mean, I just...
moral values, don't you know?
I just wouldn't think anybody'd believe anything coming out of the mouth of an admitted drug junkie. That just surprises me a little bit. Oh, well. Hey, Marlene, we've got a couple of calls waiting. One I got to get to right away. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, y'all take care. Remember to donate to the Guy James Show.
You bet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right now we've got a guy, you know what, this is something I've been wanting to get at for a long time, and I'm sorry we haven't done more, but there's always so much to talk about. We need about a dozen hours here on the show to get through everything I want to talk about. But, you know, there's a lot of political campaigns going on right now. And lots and lots of people who are backing different candidates, and we haven't talked about our candidates enough on this program. And so we've got somebody right now that is doing a great job down at Marco Island. For all you who don't live in Paradise here in Southwest Florida, Marco Island's just a little bit south of us here. It's a beautiful place, and they've got a big uprising going on down there. Craig, are you with us?
I am. How you doing, guy?
Pretty doggone good. Glad to have you with us this afternoon, and you're going to tell us all about your candidate in this fight.
Well, that's right. I'm supporting Wesley Clark, and you were talking about how one of those folks wasn't a dye-in-the-wool liberal or a long-time liberal. I'm one of those converts that came over from the other side.
No.
Yes, I am, and I feel like sometimes I'm in an AA program when I want to stand up and say, hi, my name is Craig Holland, and I'm a Democrat.
Thanks for being so honest, Craig.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I did. I grew up in Naples, Florida. My dad was in local politics, and the way it was before, it was about 70-30, and if you wanted to participate in the political scene here, you didn't matter what your ideology was, although mine's always been to the left, you had to register as a Republican. And my dad also reminded me that he was in office and that the primary was when they got elected. And he also asked me where I ate and where I slept at night. And
well, we do want to remind people from around the nation that don't know the political landscape here.
Yes.
In Collier County, where Marco Island is, there is not one Democrat holding any elected office whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one. And that even some of the Republicans who will hold office there switched over. One in particular, Bert Sanders, switched. He's a state senator.
Right.
He switched over from Democrat to Republican. I hope I've got that straight. I think I do. And so in order to get elected around here, if you're a Democrat, you've got to lie and say you're a Republican.
Yeah, and that's it. And like I said, my ideology has always been to the left side of way to the left of center. In fact, I know that you happen to, one of the other guys on your show happens to like Dennis Kucinich, and I think that's great. And I like a lot of the things he says, but I'm also a pragmatist, and I think my main concern is we got to get Bush out of office. And I feel that Wesley Clark has the best chance to do that. There's so many people in the middle, so many people that to the middle of the Democratic Party and dissatisfied Republicans, independents, who really are looking for an alternative. And I've always felt all along that Wes Clark has been that alternative.
I know that you had quite a meetup the other night. Why don't you tell us about that?
For those people who don't know, Senator George McGovern endorsed Clark a couple weeks ago, and that was a good thing because some people had questioned whether or not he was really a Democrat, and Senator McGovern was very emphatic. He said, this man is a progressive. He goes, I know a progressive when I see him. And he came to our house party there on Marco Island, and it was really something great. And I'll tell you, I won't say his exact age, but I know he's an octogenarian. And he is sharp as a tack and still a statesman, a gentleman, and he helped us out quite a bit because General Clark was suffering from laryngitis that night, and we were on a conference call throughout the whole country with our house parties, and Senator McGovern stepped in and helped us out quite a bit. So,
Craig, we're going to have a caller on a little bit later who went up on the east coast of Florida, joined in a motorcade, heading for South Carolina to stump for Clark this week.
That's right. We have a caravan, South Carolina Carolina caravan of somewhere near 100 vehicles from all over the state that went up there to help out the folks in South Carolina, I think in Charleston and Columbia, and just to show people that there's a lot of folks down here that really, really want to see a change.
Absolutely. I haven't endorsed anybody on the program yet, and I'm not going to. I am going to back anybody who I think can beat Bush. I absolutely think Clark can beat Bush. I think Kerry can beat Bush. I think John Edwards should beat Bush. But, you know, we Democrats, we always have to have a little bloodletting first
Absolutely. And I, you know, the primary process, we've had a little wounds to lick on this thing, but I think it's still a good process. I think the issues get out there, and we develop the best guy to run the race. And what I hope is that people will come together behind the candidate that we nominate.
Well, despite all the squabbles we have during our primary campaign, you will never see the bitterness and lies and so forth like the Bush campaign did against John McCain in South Carolina. You're never going to see anything like that.
Well, this administration has shown just an uncanny ability to be ruthless.
Absolutely.
In every form and fashion possible. And you know, this country just... I can't believe it. I've got a bumper sticker that says, if you're not completely appalled, you're not paying attention. And I often wonder if half the people that see it even have any idea what it means. You know, I think we got to wake them up. That was a wonderful call in there from that Michael Dobbins as far as the Stop Bush. I think there's just a huge groundswell out there of people that are just fed up. And I sure hope so, because we can't handle another four more years.
Well, I'm starting to see chinks in the armor. I'm starting to see cracks. I'm starting to hear from Republicans that have been so staunch for Bush, starting to go, well, I don't know.
Well, that's we've had a lot of people in our campaign that have helped us out quite a bit, monetarily and otherwise, who just realized that he's just the worst thing we could have done and could continue to do. And I don't think that's a problem. I think we need the middle of the country are the people that make the decision. You know, it's not the far left or the far right, although the far right sure is the oral minority right now.
Well, you know, we do have a group down in Naples. It's Republicans Against Bush.
Yeah. In fact, I attended that, and what was something, the lady that got that started, she was quite a bit older lady, and she said that she felt this election was the most crucial election in her lifetime. And that was really profound. I was really impressed by that, because some people just don't seem to be paying attention. And I think if we don't get them to pay attention, we're going to end up with four more years. And I don't know that we can handle that.
All right, Craig, now's the time. You're on the witness stand. State your case. Why is Wesley Clark a better candidate than the others?
Well, I think the one thing is I've met the man, I've met his wife. They're just wonderful people, but he's extremely compassionate. He's not a Washington insider. He's got right now the security is on everyone's mind. National security is obviously, you know, with these planes getting shut down and such, people need someone in control that knows what they're doing. And Wesley Clark ran Kosovo better than any military operation in the history of the country, and along with NATO. And he did it without losing one single casualty. That's amazing. And to do it in a way where you have 19 countries, where you have to be a diplomat, and you have to deal with the Spanish Prime Minister and the French and the Germans, and bring them all together on the same operation, that in itself shows a level of diplomacy and leadership that we need in this country. That's one of the most important things, I think, that is on people's minds. But as far as his domestic policies, he's run the military for so long. He's been involved with handling school systems, with operations. So he knows how to manage people and money and organizations. So he's going to come along with the domestic policies that the country needs just as well as the military.
But, Craig, you know, the detractors say, you know, he's not been in politics. He doesn't know the ropes. He doesn't know how political life goes. He's been a military man and doesn't know how to compromise.
Well, I think he does know how to compromise. I don't think you ever get to the top of the military at four-star level without knowing how to do some compromising. I think that's somewhat of a myth. But in the sense that I would love to have someone that's not a Washington insider go in there and shake up the pot. I think it's sort of business as usual. You put another politician in there, and you know they've got their own agenda going on too. And I like the idea of someone coming from the outside, because I've had a theory. I think we should fire all the congressmen for a couple years, save all that money for all their costs and all their expenses and their salaries, and not have them make any new laws for a couple of years, and we could probably pay off half of this debt that Bush has run up. And but wouldn't it be great to have some volunteers go in there and make some laws, get those corporations out of there, and get all those special interests out, and have the people run the government again? I think that's what we're missing.
I think the fathers were counting on the butcher, baker, candlestick maker going to Washington for a couple of years and then coming home.
Right.
I don't think they ever counted on anybody being a career politician like we have today, and that's one thing I see wrong with Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. And that's one of the things. I like the idea of a non-Washington insider going in there and getting things straightened out. That's one of the things that I like about him.
Well, to say nothing of the fact that the man is absolutely brilliant.
Well, I guess I forgot to mention that he was first in his class at West Point and a Rhodes Scholar. For somehow people, the Bush group likes to think that Rhodes Scholar is a bad word. I, for one, would like a president that can pronounce nuclear and a couple other words that he can't seem to pronounce. And I don't know if you happened to catch it, but our esteemed president got a C at Yale in political science.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to be interested in order to get good grades in anything, and I just don't think he has the capacity for that.
Yeah.
Craig, I've got other callers on the line to get to. I thank you for stating your case for General Wesley Clark. He's a great candidate. I think he's a fabulous candidate, and along with some of the others. Anybody else want to call in and tout your candidate? You're welcome to do so.
I appreciate the opportunity, and like I said, I just hope that we all get behind whoever the nominee is and send the other guy back to Texas.
That's part of my job. We're going to see that people get informed. Thank
Super.
You, Craig. Thanks
right.
for a great
Thank
call.
You.
Well, let's move right on. We've got Fred in Fort Myers. Fred, welcome to the program.
How you doing, guys?
Great. Glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, I probably disagree with you more than most people that listen to your show do, but I like to listen and just, you know, hear everyone's point of view and whatnot. But I'd say I definitely lean more conservative. And I just had a question for you. I was just wondering if Gore had won the presidency instead of Bush, would you agree we probably would not have gone into Iraq?
I wouldn't agree to that at all. I'm not a psychic. I don't know. I would say he probably would have been truthful with us if he would have. I think he's a very honest man. I don't think the man leading the country right now is honest. I always believe Al Gore is a pretty honest guy. I've got good reason to believe that, but you know, we'll never know that. We'll never know.
In your opinion, do you believe he would have gone to Iraq or not?
I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I just don't know the answer to that. I think we would have looked at all the options. I will say this. He didn't have the axe to grind on account of his daddy that this guy had, and that was certainly part of the equation. There's no doubt about that. I don't think he would have come in looking to go to war. If worse had come to worse and it was necessary, yeah, I believe if necessary, absolutely he probably would have. But he would have if it was necessary. But
and now that it's done, do you believe that it was a good thing that we went over there or no?
Well, it's never a bad thing to get rid of an evil dictator. But like we opened the show with today, there's a lot of evil dictators in the world. Why did we choose Saddam? He wasn't a threat to us. I just don't think he wasn't a threat. It's been proven he wasn't an immediate threat. He wasn't even a serious threat to his neighbors anymore. So,
I think there's a possibility that us going into Iraq has opened a foothold for democracy in that area of the world where there wasn't before.
Well, I hope you're right.
Iran is loosening up and thinking about letting us come in to inspect their nuclear plants.
Well, I would definitely hope you're right on that. I really would. I would love to see democracy take a foothold there, but I tell you, I think the odds are against us, and I don't think we're going to be able to force anything on them. We're going to have to show these people that it's a good thing, and it's I tell you, we got a lot of barriers in front of us before we can do that. It's going to have to be a very long process. As you know, there's been a democracy over there in the form of Israel for a long time, and they have affected nothing. As far as their neighbors going for democracy. So that's a tough nut to crack. I do thank you very much for your call. Got some more on the line. Thanks a lot, and I hope you call us back again.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see, who do we have here? We've got next up, we've got Steve in Fort Myers. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, guy. I wanted to bring another bit of information.
Speak up a little if you can, Steve.
Sure. I wanted to bring a little bit of additional information about the growing importance of politics in Southwest Florida. The Pants on Fire Mobile, which is a 12-foot tall replica of George Bush with flames coming out of his pants, has changed its schedule on a national tour and will be in Fort Myers next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, touring the Fort Myers area and Lee County, possibly down into Naples, so that everybody can see this.
Wait, now, where's it going to be?
Well, the...
First of all, is this the Steve I know?
You betcha.
Oh, Steve. Hey, by the way, email me, Steve. We got to talk about something, okay?
Okay,
all right.
We'll do.
All right.
Anyway, the Pants on Fire Mobile is going to be touring Lee County next week.
I love it, the Pants on Fire Mobile.
Right. Everybody can take a look at it and get additional information at www.pantsonfire.net. That tells all about the Pants on Fire Mobile. This is quite a thing. It was started by True Majority and Ben and Cohen, Ben and Jerry fame. And it's quite an impressive thing. I hope everybody gets to see it.
Boy, I hope so, too. I can't wait to see it myself. They might, you know, it might be a dangerous thing to drive that in down through here. It might take pot shots at it.
Well, it's been well received on its nationwide tour. It's been on tour for about a month now, and they've got a schedule planned out all the way through June.
Oh man, I bet it hasn't been any place with more opposition than right here, though.
No, but we've grown enough in political strength on a nationwide basis. Like I say, they changed their schedule. It was not originally scheduled to come to this area. But there's been so much happening and everything locally that they changed the schedule, and it will be here for 5 nights.
Great, great.
It's a lighted mobile, so it will be going on until about 9 o'clock every night.
One more time, Steve. Where's it going to be?
It's going to be in Southwest Florida, Lee County, touring Fort Myers, Bonita, possibly down to Naples, Fort Myers Beach, Sanibel, Cape Coral, Lehigh. It's just going to be every place for 5 nights next week.
Next week, okay. Steve, thanks so much for your call.
Okay, have a good day.
Appreciate it. There's one good Democrat right there, let me tell you. One good Democrat. Got another call I got to take right away. It says, take this call as soon as you can up on my screen. So it is as soon as I can. We got Johnny in Toronto. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. It's good to be on with you again.
Well, great to have you.
Thanks. Guy, I didn't really intend to call about this, but I just thought I'd, you know, mention a few thoughts regarding if Iraq is better off today now that Saddam is gone. I think it's a little bit premature to be counting chickens right now because, you know, the Shiites are starting to get a little bit restless there. They're expecting direct elections and expecting them soon. The Sunnis, who, as we know, are usually not in sympathy with the Shiites, are sort of asking for them to hold off in the elections right now. The Kurds, I just saw recently, the Kurds in the north have always had a, well, in the last few years, while the sanctions were on, the Kurds had autonomy up there. They ran their own business, and they got the oil revenues, and they wanted to keep those oil revenues, but Colin Powell was just in Turkey reassuring the Turkish government that the Kurds would not have the same degree of autonomy that they had under previously, and that the oil revenues would be controlled by the Iraqi central government. So that's going to tick off a lot of Kurds. So, you know, I think really Iraq's still a powder keg.
Absolutely.
If someone joined the right match in the right place, that whole place could blow right up.
Yeah, yeah. It's got heavy potential for a civil war right there.
And the real reason I wanted to call, I just wanted to mention I've been reading on the net, of course, about the role of the intelligence failures and whatnot in the leading to the invasion of Iraq. And I noticed in most of the American media that I've been seeing in the net, in CNN, various newspapers and whatnot, they usually are asking the question, what did the CIA do wrong in coming up with this off-base intelligence? You know, where did they fall down in this? And there's nary a mention of the Office of Special Plans. Now, to all your American listeners and listeners worldwide who are not familiar with the Office of Special Plans, commercial plans that have access to the internet, I should suggest they go to Google and type in Office of Special Plans in the Google search engine. Just read some of the links that follow, or if you're familiar with democraticunderground.com, there's a couple of good threads in there. But the Office of Special Plans was an intelligence agency set up under Rumsfeld to basically what it did was cherry-pick the intelligence and pass it on to the National Security Council. And there's an interesting article in The Guardian about this. If you type in that term into Google, I think the first article you pull up in Google will be the article that was published in The Guardian back in July 2003 about the Office of Special Plans, or OSP for short.
Absolutely.
The Guardian article mentioned how this organization was staffed basically by amateurs, not by seasoned intelligence veterans. It had a staff of 10 originally, and they kept getting so much intelligence in that they had to expand it to 100. And The Guardian mentioned in their article that they brought in all these political flunkies, congressional aides and whatnot, people with connections but with no intelligence background, to vet this intelligence and pass it on. Plus, they went out and they got their own intelligence, not via the CIA, but through questionable sources, i.e. the Iraqi exiles in Chalabi, who had their own axes to grind and their own agenda to push forward. So they pushed this all into the OSP, Rummy Spet project. These guys cherry-picked the best intelligence that fitted what they want. They knew that Cheney and Rumsfeld, etc., wanted. They didn't share the intelligence that they picked up was not shared with the CIA or the DIA or these other intelligence agencies to get any type of feedback or assessment, or we think you guys are off base here, this guy isn't trustworthy or whatever. So there was no one overseeing what they were doing. And this was the intelligence that Mr. Bush went to war on. And now everyone is trying to push the blame back onto the CIA. And I think it's just weird how this stuff goes on behind the scenes and no one ever finds out about it, especially in the mainstream U.S. media.
Well, if the intel from the CIA was so bad, why is George Tenet still the head of the CIA? I'd love to know the answer to that question. I think he doesn't dare fire George Tenet because I think he knows. This is my thinking on it. I think the Mr. Bush knows that the intelligence was massaged and coerced into saying what he wanted it to say. So I don't think Mr. Tenet has a lot to answer for.
Well, I agree, Guy. I just wanted to bring that up, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks so much, Johnny. Another international caller. We had a few today. Johnny from Toronto, Canada. Beautiful place. I love Toronto. I found something really interesting this week. Margie Burns sent this to me about information sharing. You know how we've heard how the CIA and the FBI and all these groups didn't properly communicate with one another? Well, and I'll quote from an article Margie Burns wrote. On February 13, 2001, George W. Bush, 3 weeks in the Oval Office, issued his first official White House document pertaining to national security. The document, called a National Security Presidential Directive, NSPD, partly reorganized the National Security Council, which had been established by President Truman in 1947 and put it into the executive branch in 1949. Bush's NSPD memorandum is addressed to all members of the cabinet, several economic advisors, White House personnel, all the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and some officials concerned with security, 41 people in all, with the vice president at the top of the list. To make a long story short, they took over total control of national security by this group of people, completely revamped it, and in light of September the 11th, a single sentence is probably the most dramatic statement in that NSPD, and I quote from the NSPD, "The existing system of interagency working groups is hereby abolished." The existing system of interagency working groups is abolished. That's from that NSPD signed by Bush. So do we want to blame the intelligence people? Do we want to? You can call us at 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We've got a couple of lines open. Right now we're going to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Very, very nice program today, and a lot of factual information here, and people who want to consider themselves conservatives and Bush supporters should really listen to some of this stuff and take a real good look at it, because all of it's factual. I happened to see Richard Pearl on The Daily Show the other night.
Oh, boy.
Now, The Daily Show is supposed to be a satire of news, but I think you can probably get more news out of that show than you can get out of Network News and Dan Rather.
I love it.
And if you don't watch this show, you're not going to know what I'm talking about, but when they have guests on like Richard Pearl, and they've had a lot of politicians and a lot of important people, and it's a lighthearted deal, and these people can joke around and feel at ease. Richard Pearl is just too damn serious. This guy couldn't crack a smile, couldn't laugh, and it was very hard for Stewart to really do what he does on his show because Pearl is just too serious. And what's he serious about? He wants to go to war with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't do what we want, we'll have to go to war with them. And is this what Republicans want?
Absolutely it is.
Well, you know, they've got to look at our military. We have a lot of weaknesses. I know everybody's saying we're a great nation, we're a strong nation, our military is strong, and so forth. When you go into a fight, whether you're on top like we are right now, you're suffering. You're running out of ammunition. You're running out of men. I've heard that the women out in the middle of the country whose husbands are in the reserves, when it comes time for those boys to sign up, their wives are going to say, not again. So we have a lot of problems that these people just don't seem to realize.
Well, John, not to interrupt, but did you hear this week that Rumsfeld's now saying we're going to need an additional 30,000 more troops into the service?
Oh, well, that's an underestimate. We're going to need a lot more.
Oh, yeah. If he says 30, they mean 200,000.
Yeah. By these people. And, you know, I don't fault the president so much as I do the advisors he has. He's listening to a bunch of silly people that just want to go to war. Rumsfeld, Pearl, Wolfowitz, these are the architects of what we've gotten into. And I don't know about you, but if I thought you were going to hit me and I socked you first, it would be wrong. I would be in jail.
Yeah.
And that's what this country did.
Yeah.
I want to comment about the Bush's involvement with the Saudis and the oil. I read Michael Moore's book, and I don't know if he inadvertently did this, but he outlined all the time that the Bushes have been tied up with the Saudis. But over those years, I thought, you know, that has kept oil prices lower than they should be. Gasoline at the pump. Your one caller did mention high prices of gasoline. I think are too low. I think they should be higher than they are. But because of the Bush involvement, they've been able to keep gas prices low for at least 15 or 20 years, and if you read American Dynasty, four generations of Bushes have controlled an awful lot in the world. But because they've kept it so low, we've had a great economy here, things have boomed along, so you could probably credit them with that. But then on the other hand, I look at it and think, okay, if prices increase, we'd have to look for alternative fuels, alternative means of transportation, maybe mass transit, monorails, whatever. And because they've kept these prices so low for so long, we don't have those alternative sources coming online. And they should be in development now because in another 20 years we'll need them, and it's going to take at least that long to develop those.
You know, John, you're right. There doesn't seem to be a serious effort going on about alternative fuels.
And when you look at this and you read the American Dynasty book about the Bushes and you read Michael Moore's book, which is a smack at probably the Bushes, but in there, you have to look at what information he's giving you. And like I say, I found that these people are responsible for keeping prices lower than they should be, and I don't think that's really good for the country. Now, that's going to sound odd to a lot of people. But if we want to stay on top, we have to develop these things, and we can't have people like this family controlling what goes on in the world. I can't believe Republicans would, you know, go for this kind of thing. And I don't know who's going to become president. Whoever it is, I want them to get rid of the people who have been in this bureaucracy that haven't been elected, like Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and Pearl. And Pearl is, I think, the most dangerous man on the
it's a, it's a dangerous gang.
Yeah,
a dangerous gang.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John, for your call. Very, very good call. Call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We're going to pause for a break right now. Got some callers waiting. Hey, we'll be right back with you. Don't go away. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
Our magnificent trees have helped shape the American spirit. Trees that clear the air, clean the water, and protect the land. Thick forests of spruce and pine, birch trees, aspen, and apples.
Taste the breeze, it's life inside you. Make a promise to the earth.
One tree has been selected by the people to represent all of America's trees. The oak, America's national tree. The oak symbolizes our nation's strength and our future. To learn more about America's great oaks, go to the Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are right for planting where you live. Discover the oak, America's national tree.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
That's arborday.org.
When I found out my son was on drugs, it was total disbelief.
I said, "Oh, Ma, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying?" She said, "Because I'm watching you die, and I don't know what to do about it."
It's a nightmare that you never wake up from.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Prescription drugs can save lives, but for our low-income seniors, these drugs can be very expensive. I'm Dr. Rhonda Meadows. As a family physician, I understand the importance of these life-saving drugs. Florida's new Silver Saver drug program, which is now available, will help our most needy seniors get the prescriptions they need. If you are 65 or older and on Medicare, you may qualify for this program. Please call 1-888-419-3456 or visit myflorida.com.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Back with you. We are talking about arrogant liars today. That's who's running the government right now. Arrogant liars. And, you know, actually, I'm as mad as hell about this. Hearing Bush again this week saying that that Saddam wouldn't let the weapons inspectors back in. Having David Kaye tell the truth. Having O'Neill tell the truth. Having these people say that there's no weapons of mass destruction and having O'Neill say what he did. And after being touted as the authority, David Kaye, you still have got that. Oh, don't, I was going to call him a name, but I better not. Dick Cheney, out saying, "Well, you know, we found these trailers," and I mean, the guy's nuts. The guy has lost his mind to keep insisting that these weapons are there after their expert spent I don't know how many $100 million and how many troops over there trying to find him. The guy they sent, the expert, they send him back. He comes home and he says they're not there. They weren't there. What's going on? What are we supposed to believe? These are the most arrogant group of damn liars who has ever been in the White House. There's never been anything like this. There's never been somebody so bold to sit there and tell one big lie after another. You know, when Clinton lied about his sexual dalliance, that was a lie. Absolutely, it was a lie, and it was wrong. But if that was wrong, what is this? What is this? Are these people really going to try and convince us that we couldn't have controlled Saddam Hussein's regime without going in there and getting, I think it's, what, 518 Americans killed and untold thousand Iraqis? And inflaming the entire Arab world? What do they take us for? Well, they take American citizens for idiots. And let me tell you, those of you who bury your heads in the sand and don't pay attention to this and leave it for somebody else to decide, you are idiots. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. Right now, we're going to go to Mike in Naples. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Guy. Love the program.
absolutely love it. I tell you what, I wake up every Saturday morning and I read the paper, and after that I'm good to go till 3 o'clock when Guy James comes on, because I tell you, buddy, I just can't get enough of this. It's remarkable. Thank you so much for taking the time to out of your Saturdays to come on the radio and entertain us. It's beautiful.
Well, we try not to be entertainers. We try and give you facts.
Well, thank you very much for the facts that, you know, you think you're giving us. Hey, I got a question.
No, let me interrupt you, Mike. I don't think, Mike, I'm going to interrupt you. I don't think I'm giving you facts. I know I'm giving you facts. You can't refute one thing I've said, not one thing.
I know that you think that, Guy.
No, I don't think that. I know that, Mike. That's why I have references for everything I talk about.
It's huge. But please, I wish you the best of success, and I hope that you continue coming on every Saturday because you make my day. But I have a question for you. And
all right.
Again, I'm already going to admit to you that I agree with you that you are not a psychic. But I was wondering if you could, just based upon what you know about the Democratic Party, Al Gore, and the facts as they exist, what do you think Al Gore would have said regarding Iraq, just regarding Iraq, pre the invasion? Let's assume he's president, he's out there. What do you think he would have said about Iraq and all of the stuff that's happened at this point in time?
I read everything Al Gore said about Iraq, and Al Gore has said that Saddam Hussein had to be controlled, that he was dangerous.
Okay, all right, good. Well, you know, I think you're right. I think that's what he would have said.
He did say that. That's not what he would have said. He did say that.
Every intelligence agency in the free world said. So I think, he and they.
No, I beg to differ. Every intelligence agency in the world did not claim he was an immediate threat. And let me say one more thing. Al Gore didn't start a ground war against Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein said he was an immediate threat. I don't remember that.
No, I didn't say Saddam Hussein said he was an immediate threat. I said all the intelligence people in the world did not say Saddam Hussein was an immediate threat.
I
want to say that Bill Clinton had some of this information, but he didn't start a ground war against Iraq, did he?
No, he didn't.
No, and Al Gore, I don't believe Al Gore would have either. If you're going to call this show, there's one thing I demand on this show. We're going to have a two-way conversation if you're going to call. Thank you. We won't have people on the show that don't have a two-way conversation. There's one thing I guarantee you when you call this show. Number one, I'm not going to screen calls. Number two, I'm not going to have people talk over me. You can talk, I can talk, but we're going to have a conversation two ways. And if you insist on it being something else, your stay on this program is going to be rather short. We've got, but nice try. Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, welcome to the show. Are you there, Jeff?
I'm here.
Boy, I can barely hear you.
Well, I'll yell then.
I can't hear you at all. Jeff, call me back on the other line, will you? We can't hear you at all.
Okay.
We've got a terrible connection.
I'll call back.
I'm sorry. We've got Jolinda in California on the line right now. Jolinda, welcome to the program. Jolinda? We're having the same problem with you. Can you speak up?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Are you on a cell phone or something?
No, I'm on a landline.
Ah.
Can you hear me now?
Not very well.
Bummer.
We've got a very poor connection.
I'll try again. I'll call a different number.
Okay, it's 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. You can give us a call.
You're coming loud and clear.
Okay.
I'll call back.
All right, thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. We're going to try Jeff in Brooklyn again, see if we got a better connection this time. Jeff, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I said I was going to have to do my Dean impression, I was afraid. Which obviously is one of the subjects. Well, go ahead.
You naughty boy, your Dean impression.
I kind of wanted to talk about the Dean scream because it's an example to me of how the media whores whore. Specifically, they take a bit of content and then play it with absolutely no context.
Sure.
People who were at that rally saw nothing unusual about what he did that day. He was rallying the troops. They were depressed about the turnout. Eleanor Clift was there. She said on the McLaughlin group, there was nothing
political assassination of the highest order.
And it was, and it smelled exactly like what they did with the Wellstone Memorial. Pluck it out of context, turn it into a story out of context, and people believe it.
I don't care what people think of me for saying it, but when a guy's got passion, when a guy stands up and speaks to me with passion, I'm not going to criticize him. Never.
No, like I said, I said it's just an example of how the media whores whore.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a stunning interview, which I wish I could give you, you know, links to, but Judy Woodruff, who is, you know, a whore amongst whores on CNN, actually had an interview with a Dean supporter, and she said, well, aren't you upset about that speech? And the Dean supporter said, well, no, of course not. And Woodruff had the gall to say, why aren't you upset?
Oh, boy.
I'm like, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see that. I would have seen it the same way you did, though.
It just, you know, stunning. We should be numb to it by now, but we shouldn't get numb to it.
Well, that's that the left controlling the media, you know.
Yeah.
We spoke earlier today about the left-wing media. I mean, I tell you, it's clear out of hand. I mean, it really is. We're doing our part to try and catch up, but I tell you, we're way behind.
I tell you, take this scenario as far as media coverage of something goes. When the Republicans were investigating Clinton's zipper, they spent years and tens of millions. The people trying to investigate the worst intelligence failure since Pearl Harbor, and certainly the worst domestic intelligence failure, 9/11, want two more months to complete their study. Republicans are going, oh, no, finish it up. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Doesn't everyone want answers to why that happened?
You know, I do, and, you know, I it might be a bad analogy, but us attacking Iraq would be like after Pearl Harbor, we went and attacked China. I mean, you know, you don't go to the source. You instead of strengthening the effort in Afghanistan, we weaken it and move on over to Iraq and dilute the forces in Afghanistan to where they've got problems now. And, you know, if there was a job to be done in Afghanistan, we should have stayed and done it. And but instead, oh, no, we had to carry out his wishes, and they'd been there for a long time, we now know, against going against Iraq.
I don't even think we got started. I mean, again, you know, Bush could... You know, could have won this election by really fighting the war on terrorism.
Sure.
He could have gotten answers. He could have lied and fired a bunch of people who were not really responsible for the intelligence failures, because as far as I'm concerned, again, if you look at the Ron Susskind book on O'Neill, you know that the National Security Council did not even mention al-Qaeda, much less Islamic terrorism in general. They didn't... The Bushes are afraid of in an investigation of 9/11 is not what they'll find, but what they won't find, which is absolutely no work whatsoever on Islamic terrorism, al-Qaeda, bin Laden, the Saudis, which they were warned explicitly by the outgoing administration. But, of course, they're so arrogant that anything that was related to Clinton, they went, nah, we'll go to the brothels in New Orleans, we'll get the medicinal pot smokers in Oregon, but we won't worry about Islamic terrorism.
That's absolutely right. They were warned. They were warned by the Clinton administration about who the real threat was, and they chose not to listen.
I say, and if you read the O'Neill book, you get this inside look at what was going on. And I say, I cannot wait for those 19,000 documents to hit the Internet, because once we start looking at that stuff, we're going to go, nope, they didn't even bring it up.
Yeah, I'm going to find them interesting. I know that. Jeff, I got callers on the line. I got to go. Hey, and by the way, good luck to you, Jeff.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Okie doke.
We've got Jolinda in California back with us. Jolinda?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I sure can.
This is like Verizon. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Glad to have you with us.
I just have a few little things to talk about this week. Our Iraq soldiers, you know, those of us at DU are sending boxes to soldiers. And a friend of mine's son and his unit And it turns out that some of them, my friend's son in particular, and I don't know how many of the others, got a surprise. They thought they were going to have to be there till August, and they actually got extended. They were supposed to be out August of last year, 2003, and they got extended to 2004. He found out last week that he gets to leave Iraq next week.
Oh,
he
great.
He was thrilled, except he's going to Afghanistan.
Oh, no. Are you serious? They would actually send him from Iraq to Afghanistan?
I'm not kidding. I tell you, I am not kidding. I was devastated when I heard that.
Oh.
He gets to come home for a month and then goes to Afghanistan.
Oh, boy.
So here's the deal. Watch for these massive withdrawals of troops from Iraq. You'll hear part one. Look, we're taking our boys out of Iraq. But guess what? They're going to Afghanistan. They're not going home.
Well, I got to tell you, Jalinda, just a couple of weeks ago, I sat in the Russell Senate Office Building in Washington, D.C., and had Senator Joe Biden look me square in the eye and tell me that by April the troops would be almost all gone out of Iraq.
Yeah, but he didn't tell you where they were going to be, did he?
No.
Okay, also, one other thing. Someone earlier mentioned about how he wanted Pearl gone. Well, if a Democrat is elected, Pearl will be out of the influence of the White House. But this group are like, if you ever turned a light on at night in an apartment and all the cockroaches scatter,
That's a great analogy. That's exactly what they are.
They will do just what they did during Clinton years. They'll all hunker down in Texas, and they'll plot for the next 4 years, 8 years, whatever. They weren't just sitting on their hands watching TV while Clinton was in office.
Well, you know, Jalinda, I don't know if you heard her show, two or three months ago, we had Ray McGovern, former CIA agent, on the program, and Ray told us in no uncertain terms that back when Bush 1 was the president, that Wolfowitz and Pearl and this PNAC group took this proposal to him to take over Iraq and so forth.
He was going to wait until the second term, right?
They called him. No, he threw him out of their office, and they were known as the crazies from then on. Crazies.
Well, that's part of the deal with Pearl. He won't be gone. He'll just, even when he's buried, we'd have to dig him up just to make sure he's still there.
You're exactly right. That's the way I look at it, too. The guy's dangerous.
And another thing, back to Iraq, because we got a little bit of flack about, you know, the soldier worship and all this, that a friend of mine who just happens to be in the CPA, the coalition provision, who is an Iraqi, he's a U.S. citizen, but he is an Iraqi. He's over there, and so through him, I arranged to have people, if they wanted to, send care packages for the Iraqi families, which we did, and it's been too dangerous to deliver them.
Oh.
And these are the people that are in charge.
Oh,
these
dear.
Are my friend is a big, high-up guy, and they have to have military escorts everywhere they go, and he just flat out told me that it's just been too dangerous, and they were going to try next week. So just to deliver care packages, you know, gestures of you know, niceness, we have to worry about these guys getting killed.
But the administration would have you believe they have people dancing in the streets.
They love us. They're throwing flowers at us. But what they don't tell us is that those flowers are attached to bombs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Jalinda, I thank you for your call.
Yeah,
we got to stop for the news at the top of the hour. We appreciate your call. And thanks for your help for the soldiers. We do think that's a great thing. You know, we have nothing but the greatest regard for our troops over there. They didn't choose to go over there and be involved in this turmoil that's going on, this horrible war that's gone on in Iraq. And make no mistake about it, mission is not accomplished. It's not over with. There's the Shias right now are ready to have an all-out civil war. They're not ready to take democracy the way the U.S. wants it shoved down their throats. They do want to have elections when they want to have them, and they're not going to listen for much longer. It's going to be interesting to see how much longer this thing goes on before it just boils over into something absolutely uncontrollable. We just don't need that sort of thing. Hey, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show. Our callers, hang on. We'll be right back after the news. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida.
fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James back with you here on Power Talk 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida, and streaming on the internet to a cast of thousands all over around the world. Had a couple international calls already today. We love getting calls from everybody. We do encourage you to call. You know, you can call us on our nickel. The number is 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 03, or 04. And for those of you locally, call us right here in Lee County at 479-5540. 479-5540 or in Collier County, 263-6570. You know, we're talking today about the most prolific group of liars ever to inhabit the White House and maybe the Pentagon as well. Nobody comes close to these people. Nobody comes close to them for the gall they've had. And all week long, it's been amusing to me to listen to right-wing radio lay it on our intelligence people, trying to shift the buck over to the intelligence people, career people, not politicians, who've worked hard to do their jobs, and maybe they have made some mistakes. I don't know. But I do know Dick Cheney was at the CIA office every week way back when. That's unprecedented. Unprecedented for a vice president. We do know they knew that the yellow cake uranium story was a flat-out lie, and yet they threw that in. We have no reason to believe these people. They have not shown us one reason why they should have our trust. They have shown us nothing but lies. Lies that have got this nation in serious trouble. Lies that have cost this country their reputation around the world. And I can't forgive them for it. And I hope the electorate won't forgive them for it either when election time comes. We've got Ed on the line. Ed in Connecticut, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Ed.
As a Democrat, I'm a little depressed. I'm awfully worried about John Kerry's ascendancy because I really believe he's unelectable. I do not think that he's going to capture the middle. I worked on the Dukakis campaign, and that Massachusetts liberal tag is fierce. And I don't think he's going to get the turnout. I don't think he's going to connect with the wage earner. And I'm also worried about the peaceniks who are already mad going out third party and us having another Nader too.
What makes you think Kerry's not electable, Ed?
Well, I just said I don't think he's going to get the middle. I don't think he's going to get the turnout. I think the wage earner's not going to connect with him. He's too patrician. And I think if he keeps running as Joe War Hero, that the peaceniks are going to go Nader.
Well, who do you think would make a better candidate, Ed? You must have somebody in mind.
I want someone who can win more than anything. I look at Clark as being a party builder. I look at Dean as being a party builder. I look at Edwards being a party healer and has the ability to keep us all together. And I look at Kerry as being death for the party.
Well, obviously a lot of Democrats don't agree with you, Ed. The people in Iowa don't, and the people in New Hampshire don't. And we're going to see how the people in South Carolina feel. I think this whole thing's going to shake out pretty quick now. We've got maybe, three, 4 weeks, and it's going to be over with. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I haven't endorsed any one candidate. I like John Kerry. I love Edwards. I love Clark. I just think we've got some great candidates up there. But, you're right in one respect. The middle is who elects the presidents. The middle are the people in America that the candidates have to shoot for. And, I hope Kerry can carry the middle. I hope he can.
I think he's going to be victim of the $200 million war chest. I think they're going to go after him. Particularly on his Gulf War I vote, which I don't know how he's going to explain.
Well, that's one thing.
when it comes down to people's records nowadays, I guess we have to look on how they feel now as opposed to how they felt a dozen years ago. People can change their minds or maybe have second thoughts. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a politician these days, so I don't have to defend everything I've ever said on politics. I've been wrong before. I know some of you say, gee whiz, I can't believe he said that. But, yeah, I have been wrong before. So I hope you're wrong on Kerry if he gets the nomination. I hope you're wrong, and I know you probably hope you're wrong too. But we're going to see how it shakes out. It's going to be interesting. Ed, I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I do appreciate having you listen to the program, and we'd be glad to listen to you anytime you call.
Thank you.
Right now, we're going to come to one of the important segments of the program. We're going to go to a few minutes of Republican Love, and we're going to get the orchestra warmed up. I hope they're in fine shape today. There they are. There they are. You know, the conductor always brings them in so nicely. And, you know, it's beautiful. It really is a thing of beauty. These people practice all week just for these few moments. So, as you know, many of you, we get letters every week. And we get letters from our Republican friends. And I take a look at them and I choose the ones that I want to read. And I call it A Few Minutes of Republican Love. And here's the letters for this 31st day of January, 2004. It starts out, the first one, you have exposed yourself for the liar you are. Oh, my. I challenge you to back up your statement that there are no weapons of mass destruction. Just because that turncoat K and a disgruntled O'Neill are saying things that don't mean they're true. Well, we need a little grammatical change right there. I don't know. It seems to me the administration was touting Tout as their premier weapons of mass destruction hunter. Were they lying before? I don't think so. Guy seems like he's telling the truth to me. The writer goes on to say, maybe you should watch Fox TV or listen to Rush or Hannity, and then you would know the truth as it really is. I'll tell you something. It's been so long since I've heard the truth come out of either one of those guys' mouth. I wouldn't believe them if they said the sun was coming up tomorrow morning, especially that drug junkie. You know, you can't believe professed drug junkies when they tell you something. They lie. Now, argue with me on that. Drug junkies lie. So, you know, keep that in mind next time you've got the big mouth on. All right, the next letter is, you keep implying that it's okay to be gay. Where did you learn such a thing? I don't know, I guess from my gay friends. I think they're all okay. If you were a good Christian, here we go, you would never utter such a statement. They are misguided sinners, and the idea that they are born that way is nothing more than pure poppycock. Now, I think they spelled poppycock wrong. It's not P-O-P-P-I-E, is it? No, it's a P-O-P-P-Y. Anyway, it's a small thing. Back to the letter, and I quote, in our church, we have turned around many gays and made them, I love that, made them into good Christian family people instead of being involved in their evil lifestyle. Oh, I know you're going to say that Vice President Cheney has a gay daughter. Well, I happen to know. Now, here's this person knows. They happen to know. Stay with me on this. I happen to know that he's doing everything in his power to change her back to a normal person. That is the kind of man he is. Oh, man. That Cheney, he's such a... Okay, back to the letter. You should be more appreciative of him and our president, for they are men of God and have God's guidance to lead our nation out of our sinful ways. You know, I always think of Cheney more with horns than I do. Anyway, the next letter. This one's a little different than the letters we usually get on A Few Minutes of Republican Love, but it was so good I wanted to read it to you. I want to thank, dear guy, see that right there is a nice thing. I want to thank you for having the courage to present the truth in your program. It's easy to just go along with the Republican-dominated media and follow the party line that everything is A-OK and the outlook is rosy. You have helped me realize that I was one of those who was blindly following the party line because that's the way I wanted it to be. But I now know that the message coming from this administration is nothing but propaganda, and I also realize that much of what they're doing is very detrimental to the people of the U.S. This is not the Republican Party I've been a member of for 40 years. This is a group of people who have their own selfish, dangerous agenda and don't give a damn for the rest of us. I will be voting for whomever the Democrats nominate this year because a vote for Bush is a vote for the ruination of this country. Ray. Ray, I thank you for that letter. Now, I want to read to you a letter that's kind of long, but in my opinion, this is the ugliest letter I have ever gotten. Ugly in that there are no swear words in this. I'm not called any dirty names or anything like this, but you'll see what I mean. This is a real piece of work. This is the ugliest letter ever sent to the Guy James Show. You are, and I quote, "You are but one more example of the hate-filled left-wing media. Every liberal media program is filled with hate and paranoia." First of all, I'd like to ask how many left media programs are there? How many does this writer listen to? To go back to the letter, "You all think the world is coming to an end if Bush is reelected. Well, I have news for you. Bush is going to be reelected, and if that is the end of your world, then that's a good thing. In your world, you worry about foolish ideas like the common good and fairness for everyone and taking care of the poor. Well, in the real world, the poor are the lazy, and they deserve nothing from anyone. If I can work for what I have, they can too. That's the trouble with you liberals. You think you can solve all the world's ills. Well, most of the world's ills are caused by lazy, inferior people. Does that sound like anything from back in 1939 to you? It does to me." Back to the letter. "You think you can solve all the world's ills." Okay. "Most of the world's ills are caused by lazy, inferior people, and they should be forced to work harder and live up to the potential we are all born with. You should not wonder why Republicans resent giving our hard-earned tax money to the poor. It's our money. And no one deserves anything other than what they can earn themselves. If you would look around you, you would find that even some severely handicapped people have been able to overcome their problems and lead productive lives." I can't argue with that. On with the letter. "Many blind people make a good living, proving that it is possible for everyone to do so." That's just plain crazy. It's possible for everyone. Obviously, this writer doesn't live in the real world. And I quote, "We need to stop making excuses for everyone who has the same kind of affliction or problem. All of them can learn to do some productive work and make a living. Those who don't are just plain lazy. And you always seem to pander to the minorities. Why are they special? If, as you say, you truly believe in equality for everyone, the old Democrat mantra, then you certainly wouldn't say they deserve any special treatment. Thank goodness this administration had the courage to get rid of affirmative action, because those people have gotten a free ride for decades. Democrats always bring up the plight of single mothers. Well, if these were good, decent women, they wouldn't be single mothers, would they? Morality matters in our society, and if they go out and get pregnant because they can't wait till marriage, then they must pay whatever price is due them for breaking God's commandments. The rest of us live by those rules, and they should too. We waste money on drug programs, school lunch programs, welfare for the poor, medical care for the poor, Social Security, and so many other programs that it's no wonder our government is broke. Let's face it, Democrats have initiated all these programs and they're responsible for the government being broke. I take issue with that. On with the letter. "Wake up and realize it is the strong people that earned their own way who were responsible for this nation being the great country it is, and the poor and weak and immoral people have kept us from being as good as we can be." I don't know about you, but to my way of thinking, that is a filthy letter. To think that all people in this country, people that are disadvantaged mentally and physically, to think that all of them have the capacity to take care of themselves is just plain crazy. To think that we should have no social programs for school kids and for single mothers. If you're going to say that about the mothers, at least for God's sake, think about the kids. What about the kids? You know, this is what I hate about the Republican Party right now. Not the old Republican Party, but the new Republican Party that stands for this kind of crap that's in this letter. That's how they feel. They're the most selfish group of people on the earth. Me, 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 me. I'm going to keep all of my money. I'm not going to help anybody. I tell you, this infuriates me, this letter does. But I see people like this. I run into them every day. I hear them saying this crap every day on Hannity and Limbaugh and all these shows. I hear this kind of crap. And to think that there's a number of people, millions of you out there, that believe this sort of thing. You know, I can only end this by saying one thing by Thomas Paine. A quote from Thomas Paine out of his famous writing, Thomas Common Sense. As all of you know, he was one of the founding fathers of this country. He said, "The world is my country, all mankind are my brothers, and my religion is to do good." And I tell you what, whoever wrote this letter and the millions of you that believe just how he did, you better take that to heart. You better really take that to heart. You better read Common Sense and read this quote by Thomas Paine and take it to heart. The world is my country, all mankind are my brothers, and my religion is to do good. You who believe in this sort of crap, you have lost your way. A lot of you claim to be good Christians and you write crap like this, you have lost your way. You have no idea as to the ideals of what Christianity is about or any religion's about, the basic tenets. If you write something like this, this is the most selfish piece of crap I've ever gotten. And whoever wrote it didn't sign their name. I wouldn't either. And so that ends a few minutes of Republican Love this week. I'm sorry if I get upset over something like that. Actually, I'm not. What kind of a person writes something like that? And yet I hear that sort of stuff all the time. All the time. We've got the right-wing media that controls, that control the minds and hearts of so many of you out there. You listen to them for their marching orders. You believe what Rush Limbaugh and what Sean Hannity and I can't even think of some of their other names, like Rusty Humphrey G. Gordon Liddy, and I don't know. The list goes on and on. O'Reilly claims he's in the middle. The list goes on and on and on. It's a never-ending list of right-wing radio hosts. They have their talking points. They preach them every day. Every day they read from the same page. But I tell you, I did see one shocking thing this week. Michael Savage, whom I consider to be an absolute crackpot nut, but he's got a syndicated radio program to hundreds of radio stations, and he gets in trouble for saying some crazy things now and then, but as you know, he hates Democrats with a passion, and this week he ran a full-page ad in the New York Times calling for the impeachment of George W. Bush over the Mexican issue, over the immigration. Think about that. We got a caller on the line right now. We've got Julio in Fort Myers. Have I got that right? Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, I wanted to thank you first of all. I think you have a great show. But I wanted to talk to you about the debate that they had on Fox News a couple weeks ago when Peter Jennings asked Wesley Clark about comments Michael Moore made. I mean, I was just wondering. I'm like, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, okay, the most important thing that this of asking a future candidate for president is what some guy thinks about George Bush being a deserter, and then on top of that, I wonder if he's going to ask Bush when he has the chance what his relationship is with the Bin Laden family, and also, is it true that George Bush, his father, was meeting with Osama Bin Laden or with Bin Laden's brother the morning of September 11th, and to find out what extent the relationship with his family is with Saudi Arabia. I wonder if he'll get around to those questions, and he probably won't. And that's why, I mean, it makes me laugh when you hear someone say about the liberal media, and I'm like, okay, exactly which one are you referring to? Because, I mean, there's only one media here, and they avoid all the really important questions that people need to know about. And as far as that letter that you just read, I mean, those people make me laugh because okay, if there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? And now, you know, basically all the conservatives are admitting that there aren't any. Okay, so then we went in there to help the poor Iraqi helpless people, okay? These lazy people who are keeping the world down. Okay, so based on this guy's principles, then we shouldn't have helped Iraq. We should have let them, you know, stop being lazy and defend their own country and get out of the poverty. Then why are we helping them? Okay, so these people run around and they're saying, well, in America, we're going to ignore all the poor people and ignore all the people who can't help themselves, but we'll go around the world and we'll do it over there. And, I mean, these people, like you said, it makes me angry. It makes me sick. You know, I mean, I'm not the richest person in the world, but, you know, they have a couple extra bucks in my pocket and someone, you know, I see someone broke on the street or asking for money or buying food, I give it to them because, I mean, I'm a human being. You know, I mean, so not everybody's life works out.
Well, Julio, you may not be a rich person, but you're rich with logic and intelligence because you've drawn a perfect analogy. If the people here in this country who need help are considered lazy people, like that letter said, instead of disadvantaged, then what in the hell are we doing trying to help people in another nation? You're exactly right.
Exactly. And I mean, it's just, and I think that people in America purposely are not taught how to use logic, and I see it every day. My sister is a college graduate, and she didn't know what a mnemonic device was until like a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? She's like 30 years old. I mean, people aren't taught logic. They're not taught how to put two and two together in real life things that are going on. I mean, the president is sitting up there saying, I caught it the first day that he announced we were going into Iraq. He says, we're going to look for weapons of mass destruction. He might have connections with Al-Qaeda, and just in case those two things don't work out, we're going to help the Iraqi people too. And the first day that it happened, and I knew it. The first time we didn't find the weapons, and the first time we figured out that there's no connection with Osama bin Laden, we helped the Iraqi people and the world is better off. And like you said, okay, if we're going to get rid of all these bad people, what about the bad guy that's living 90 miles south from us who already helped an enemy of ours have nuclear weapons and point them at us and threaten us, threaten annihilation to us? What makes us think that this guy wouldn't say, hey, Osama, you know, we have the same enemy. Why don't you come down here and let's see if we can work something out?
Julio, if you heard the opening of the show today, I did a piece kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I do mean it. If we're going after these people, these bad guys, there's a long, long laundry list that I read of really bad guys around the world that we don't seem to be having any, you know, no problem with them. But, you know, it had to be Saddam.
Right. And, I mean, it's just a joke. I mean, just the fact that people can sit there and listen to this, and I don't want to use the language that I want to use, but to listen to this guy speak, okay? I mean, like you said, he's only done 10 press conferences or something like that. The one that freaked me out the most, okay, and I knew that we were in the biggest trouble, and I don't know if anybody else caught it, but he had one press conference like a couple weeks before we invaded Iraq where the whole press conference, the entire press conference was scripted. And I'm like, what is that? I mean,
he even said it.
Right. I mean, someone asked an offhand question, and he looked at him like if he was crazy and said, no, this is scripted. I mean, since when do you hold a press conference when you're going to say, okay, I want all the questions that you're going to ask me written down, we're going to make sure that we have the... I mean, what kind of crap is that? You know, I mean, to me, that's not an intelligent person speaking. And just to say this, okay, I've taken speech classes, I've taken debate classes, and that guy is the worst speech giver that I have ever seen in my entire life. Okay? I mean, he does things, and I almost think that he's doing it on purpose because he talks in a way that you stop paying attention to what he's saying. Okay, he'll go really low, and then he'll speak up really loud when he says something that he wants you to hear. And when he says something that he doesn't want you to hear, he lowers his voice and, you know, to lose the attention, and then he brings it back up again when he says, weapons of mass destruction. Well, we're going to go in there, and we're going to invade this country, and weapons of mass destruction, and there's going to be little people dying here and dying there, but weapons of mass destruction. And you know what I'm saying?
It's almost like those subliminal tapes.
Exactly. Well, take it easy, man. You have a great show.
Julio, thanks for a great call. I really appreciate it. I hope you call us again.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Great logic by that caller. If these people believe in pulling yourself up for your bootstraps, every one of us now, even you disadvantaged people, if you got a severe handicap, no matter what, If none of you deserve any help, do the Iraqi people deserve any help? Huh? Most of them are able-bodied people. Most of them are very intelligent. They're just as intelligent as we are. We're not the smartest people on earth. I think a lot of tests have proven that. We're smart people, but we're not the most intelligent people. So what's your beef? What's your beef with the social programs helping people out that need a helping hand, and yet you want to go over and help the Iraqis? Well, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's because the premise of helping the Iraqi people is nothing but a damn lie. You don't mean it. You don't mean it. You never meant it. Bush doesn't mean it. Compassion for the people of Iraq is beyond. It's beyond the capability of that guy's mind or these people from the PNAC group or Wolfowitz or Pearl or Cheney. Compassion? Ha! Give me a break. They don't know what compassion is. For them to go on and say that, oh, we want to help the people of Iraq, give me a break. This is a group that's intentionally trying to break the government, break the treasury of this government so that all social programs, that Medicare, Social Security, all the programs meant to be a helpful thing to our citizens go down the drain, and we'll have to privatize everything. That's what they're after. Keep your eye on that. That is what they are after. This is a bad bunch of apples, folks. A bad bunch of apples. And I think the American people are starting to realize it. They're starting to see through it. Like I mentioned before, I've had a bunch of Republicans lately tell me that they're starting to see through it. They're starting to doubt. They're starting to wonder what these people are all about. And I know what they're all about. They're a bunch of out-and-out pathological liars. They've lied and lied and lied to the people so much they don't even realize they're lying anymore. How else could Bush get up in front of the American people here this past week and say Saddam wouldn't let our inspectors in right before the war? Did he believe that? Did he believe what he was saying? He said it twice. Surely he didn't believe that, did he? Or is he enough of a pathological liar that he actually believes that? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if I get angry once in a while, I hope you'll forgive me, because every week these people do something that is just absolutely beyond the pale. And the reaction of some of the hardcore right-wingers to what's going on amazes me. It absolutely amazes me that the Ann Coulters and some of these people in the world can listen to this BS. A stream of BS, diarrhea of the mouth coming out of Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld, and believe it when they've been proven to be liars over and over and over again, massaging the truth. Oh, please. We got Mike in North Fort Myers. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yes, I've been first time I've heard your program, and I'm trying to figure some of the words you use. I happen to be an anti-Bush man. I'm an independent. But some of the words you use are vulgar, and you spew an awful lot of hatred.
Oh, what's vulgar, what I've said?
What's vulgar, did you say?
Yeah.
Every other word. You've been using one crazy word there continuously.
I don't believe I've issued a vulgar word today, Mike. I take issue with that.
You've been using one particular word, which I think is enough to drive a person nuts.
And what would that be?
Scrap. Crap. You use that word crap like it's...
I said it about three or four times.
Well, more than that, I just got onto the program just recently. I've never heard you before. It's the first time. Mm-hmm. But as an independent who doesn't like any politician as a rule, I consider all politicians not my equal. I think they're all in for themselves, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. But I just feel you spew too much hatred. I mean, whether it's hatred against Clinton or it's hatred against Bush or it's hatred against anyone.
How do you think I ought to feel against somebody that lied some more to send 518 of our kids to their death and killed thousands of Iraqis? How should I feel?
Show me a president that hasn't lied.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. The list of presidents who have told a lie as big as this one about sending us into war that was unnecessary. There is no list. He tops the list.
We don't know the whole story there, and I happen to be a believer that there is WMD or equivalent to it over somewhere in Iraq. Maybe
David Kay takes issue with you, and he's the expert.
Pardon?
David Kay is the expert.
David Case is just a man like everybody else. He doesn't cover the whole area. There's no man in the world that's an expert. He himself is an administrator more than he's anything else, Case.
He had 1,200 expert troops trained to hunt for weapons of mass destruction and an unlimited budget, and he found nothing.
But he's an administrator, and there was stuff there because they did kill people. They killed Kurds. They killed Iranians. They killed
They killed
people.
Kurds and Iranians with our blessing.
They killed Iranians without... No, they used gas on Iranians.
They did it with our blessing. We helped them right along with that. We turned a blind eye. Donald Rumsfeld himself did business with Saddam Hussein after that.
But, you know, you can criticize a person, and I do criticize Bush very much, but I just don't do it with hatred. And for some reason, you're spewing an awful lot of hatred.
Well, I'm sorry you think so. I thank you for your call, though, and I hope you keep listening. Thank you.
Sure.
We've got Preston in Denver. Preston, welcome to the program today. Are you there, Preston? Boy, I think Preston went away from the phone. If you're with us, Preston, why try giving us a call back, okay?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Speak up, Preston.
Hi, Guy.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here. I don't think you're spewing hate at all.
I'm spewing the facts.
That's right, and I appreciate your righteous indignation. You know, sometimes we miss that. It's as though we've been pacified, and there are certainly reasons for some of our anger over what's going on.
Well, sometimes you can hold it in, and sometimes you can't. And today,
right.
I'm offended by all the things that happened this week. I really am. The truth is coming out. There's a bushel full of it now coming out that absolutely proves that these people, anybody with a common sense or a logical mind, could know that these people are nothing but out and out liars.
Yeah, but I have to say they are very clever liars.
Very good.
You know, they read Machiavelli, and they've got all these public relations firms working for them to think up ways to manipulate our fellow citizens. And people might want to check out PRWatch.org and groups like that that are working with limitless funds in our, you know, newscasts and on the stations and in the movies to fool us and to hide, you know, their money interests and, you know, the terror that we are causing with our weapons of mass destruction and the harm that we're doing to the environment. But finally, you know, there's some transformation going on. You know, people are starting to invest more in wind power, and people are starting to lobby harder for a cessation of all this violence all over the world.
Well, I think you're right. You know, Preston, I think you hit the nail right on the head when you start talking about Machiavellian behavior, because these people have been at it now in a concentrated way for a good many years now.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these right-wing think tanks, and there's a lot of them, and Republicans throw money at them like crazy, and they're framing the issues. You know, they're analyzing your language and thought, and trying to create a certain speak that they pass around to all the right-wing talkers, like our social programs. You'll hear all the right-wingers talk about spoiling people by giving them things they haven't earned. Spoiling people. You'll hear phrases like tax relief. Tax relief. It's ridiculous, some of the things they come up with, but it's working.
Bill Gates Sr., the father of Jr., who has all those billions of dollars, he came out with a book called Wealth and Our Commonwealth, arguing for the taxation of these huge fortunes, and he shows his gratitude towards this country and its infrastructure and the research and development that the whole society created, and he doesn't think it should all be concentrated in the hands of a few people. You know, they get corporate welfare. A lot of them get it for not working very hard, you know, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. There's no one that believes in welfare any more than the Republican Party, and it is corporate welfare. And believe you me, they've been getting their they've been getting their paybacks.
One last comment, if I may. The left wing or the progressive community, I think, has some responsibility as well. I mean, I don't understand why programs like yours are not being talked about by Fairness and Accuracy and Reporting and Z Magazine and Mother Jones Magazine. They're often giving us all this bad news about how, you know, Rupert Murdoch owns everything and the latest you know, merger, which we should know about, but we should all know about your program and the efforts of people like Tom Hartman and Enid Goldstein. There are a lot of even progressive women who are on the radio, and I think Limbaugh and Hannity, you know, they have their own moments that they can be entertaining and speak, you know.
That's the reason they're on is because they're entertainers.
Right, but, you know, there are these other efforts that I think, you know, and through streaming, you know, tens of thousands of people could be participating in these very democratic town halls, I think. But so, again, thank you for what you're doing.
Preston, I thank you so very much, and I invite you to call anytime.
Sure thing.
A great call. I had an occasion to meet with Tom Hartman a couple of weeks ago in Washington, and you know, it's discouraging. He's on the ID American Network, and they're, as far as I know at this moment, going out of business. There were several liberal talk show hosts at this conference we went to who have lost their shows because they were on stations owned by right wing who just didn't want them to speak their minds anymore. It's a tough road to hoe, let me tell you. And it's tough, particularly where we live here. We're in an area dominated by Republicans, and I mean dominated. And so it's hard. Although I think our show would be very viable in prime time, who knows if we'll ever get the opportunity to do that. We have contacts with some of the networks around the country, and we're hoping something happens soon, but you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen. But we've got a long ways to go to catch up. We absolutely do. And I don't know. I just didn't see my producer over there looking at me. Maybe he's not ready for a break. I'll wait. He's on the phone right now. But do think about this certain speak that the Republicans do. These nice little things like the No Child Behind Act. You know, it sounds just glorious, doesn't it? No child left behind. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it? But they pass it, and they get their pictures taken, and pass the pens out to everybody after signing the bill like they do. And then Ted Kennedy finds out, to his chagrin, that, well, guess what? There's not any funding for it. But, you know, never mind that. And the Clear Skies initiative that they passed. Doesn't that sound nice? Clear skies. It's anything but. Anything but clear skies. First of all, the global warming measures are voluntary. Isn't that nice? Voluntary. But there's a lot more serious problem. A close inspection of the Clear Skies initiative reveals a dangerous bait and switch in the fine print. Though the Bush proposal includes cuts in the pollution that causes smog, soot, and that mercury poisoning I know you all know about, the cuts actually aren't as deep as the pollution reductions that would result from enforcing the law already on the books. They give big business a break at every corner. They got to pay them back. They got to pay them back for all those they got to pay them back for all those campaign contributions. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. I do invite you to call us. We've got a few minutes left in the program. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. And Ray in New Haven, hang on. We'll be back just after this short break. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
The Guy James Show.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
My husband and I met at a
strip mall
dance. It was a beautiful old
strip mall.
I had seen my husband before at a big rally at the
highway on ramp
for all the men who had enlisted. He was going to war. 4 years later, we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James back with you, the vulgar Guy James. My goodness, I didn't know I offended anybody by saying crap. Well, I've heard Rushy and Hannity and all those guys say that a bunch of times, but I guess I'm the vulgar one. Well, that's okay. I'll tell you something, Mr. Caller, and I can't remember his name right now. If you want to hear vulgar, or see vulgar, I should bundle up and send you a bunch of emails I get from my right-wing friends. If you want to be offended, oh, brother, you better have an open mind when you read some of them. You see, I read you the ones that the FCC will allow me to read. Some of the other ones, I think in an army barracks, some of those guys might be shocked by some of the things I hear. Anyway, we're going to go to Ray in New Haven. Ray, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday afternoon.
Good afternoon, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
I've been able to hear you loud and clear today.
Good.
Thank goodness. And heard that Republican love and that letter that offended you so much. And I can't blame you as a Christian minister and founder of liberalslikechrist.org, a website that shows that Christ and the great prophets of the Bible were great liberal teachers who believed in the evils that become that have befallen the world because of powerful rich people, that the poor suffer oppression because of the rich, not because they're lazy. So the person who represented himself as a Christian, I'm afraid, doesn't know anything about his Bible. And I urge Christians who believe anything like that caller to read liberalslikechrist.org or another website that I've recently started called JesusNoRepublican.org. Either one of them will enlighten them as to what the Bible really teaches, that Jesus was on the side of the poor, the oppressed. And he would be a liberal Democrat today, not a conservative, anti-Christian Republican. That letter actually was a great letter. I'd like to get a hold of a copy of it because it expressed so well the lack of Christianity in Republicans. So,
I think it sums it up beautifully. I think the guy hit it square on the head. I really do.
I like to hear people express the real sentiments of their conservative party, the conservative Republican Party. I love to hear it expressed so eloquently. Although I disagree with it, at least he's eloquent and honest about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how selfish they are.
Yes. Yes, and, I agree, Ray. I do.
And so, Christians, if there's any Christianity in you, get out of that Republican Party as soon as you can and take a better look at the Democratic Party. And as far as the issues that most obsessed conservatives go, abortion was not what Jesus was concerned about. He never even mentioned it once. That's how little concern he had for it. And it wasn't because it didn't exist. Abortion's been with us for ages. It was known in biblical times. But Jesus didn't bother with it. It was not an issue for him. And homosexuality, likewise, was not an issue for him. What were issues for him were greed and hypocrisy, and largely in the ruling classes, which included the clergy, as well as the politicians. Jesus wasn't killed by atheists. He didn't battle atheists. He battled clergymen who were conservative. And they hated him because he was liberal and he asserted associated with the poor and defended the poor and the outcast. He would defend the blacks, the minorities, and even, yes, the homosexuals.
All of God's children. All of God's children.
Exactly.
Everyone.
Those who are most oppressed.
Yes.
He would defend the most.
Especially those most oppressed.
Exactly.
If people believe in a good and merciful God, and most people do, you have to take that absolutely to heart. All of God's children, afflicted, sick, feeble, whatever, everyone is important. And if they need a helping hand, it's up to us to extend that helping hand. And if we don't, and if we resent somebody giving a helping hand, we're just not the kind of people we ought to be.
And it's a shame that a lot of so-called Christians really understand that the needy need to be helped, but they've gotten this idea that they're really only going to be helped in heaven. We don't have to help them in this life. We just have to help them get to heaven, and finally there they're going to get some relief. But Jesus was intent on getting relief for people in this life as well as a better life in the future. He wanted the poor and the oppressed and the sick and the infirm healed and helped in this life, here and now. And
Ray,
that's what Democrats are concerned about.
I got another caller, Ray. I thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you, and you always provide some grounding for where we need to be as compassionate people. I thank you for that.
Thank you, Guy. You're doing a great job.
And we've got Deb in Iowa. Deb, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Sure, that's fine. I just had one comment, and that was on the gentleman, well, the guy who sent you the letter, talking about single mothers.
Yeah.
And my whole thought on that is, for every single mother, there's some man who dropped his seed and never looked back. So, you know...
Can't argue with that.
You know, they can't just constantly talk about the women because it's not just the women.
Well, you know, Deb, if you've seen that famous picture of him recently signing that abortion bill, you know, that went through, there was 10 guys in the picture.
Exactly.
There wasn't a woman in the picture. 10 guys.
Old white guys.
Old white guys. Exactly right. The old white guys want to make all the rules. And,
exactly.
You know, that...
And I've never listened to your show before, but I'm very much enjoying it. So.
Well, Deb, I'm glad you are.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's important that we remember that there were 10 white guys signing that bill. Whether you agree with the abortion issue, you know, a lot of times that's a no-win situation. We were going to talk a lot about it today, but we really didn't get a chance to. There's never enough time in this show, but you know, I would throw out one question to the folks that scream about abortion and so forth. I want to know how many of you have adopted children in your homes. I just would ask that question. Right now, we've got Wayne in North Fort Myers. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize I'd get on quite that fast.
Hey, it's getting down toward the home stretch. We've got room for you.
I got just kind of a short one there. First time I've heard you, and I like it. I think you got a lot of good ideas. I don't have the names of just the one. The two Republicans are calling Paul Finley, I think it is one of them, as a strict Republican, is now calling to defeat Bush. And he's a true and hard Republican, has been all his life.
Oh, you mean one of the talk show hosts?
No, I mean the representative.
Oh, okay.
Paul Finley.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
And a cohort of his is now, I've got it on the internet, but I didn't copy, and my memory's getting kind of bad here. I'm almost 81, and I can't think sometimes.
Well, you know, Wayne, you don't have to be 81 to have that happen. That's happened to me about half a dozen times in the last hour.
but there's two of them there now that are coming out and calling for Bush's defeat, period, calling on all Republicans for Bush's defeat. And also, you know, I've seen this for the last few years, because I grew up during the Depression, and it seems to me like, aren't they following Hitler's tactics of having a big disaster, and
well,
then turn around and calling to hate somebody?
Yep.
It seems to me like they're just following Hitler's tactics all the way through, and now
Well, they've certainly taken advantage of that. There's no question that they've used that issue to pound home some of their political ideology. John,
well, that's about all I got to say.
I thank you for calling. I thank you for listening. Every listener is important, and please keep listening and call us anytime.
What time are you on?
From 3 to 6 every Saturday.
3 to 6 every Saturday.
Well, right here on Power Talk 1200.
All right.
Thank you for your call, sir. We've got John in Naples. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. A great program.
Thank you.
I had to go out and buy another radio to make sure I could hear you because I haven't been able to pick you up in the last couple of weeks. So I got a better radio, so now I can hear you.
Attaboy.
I love to hear about the lies, but, you know, they just don't. They just aren't the ones that are doing the lying. They have people doing it for them, like Fox News. I couldn't get over it. Like 2 weeks ago, they found this pile of bombs that was supposed to be chemical weapons.
Is that the one the Danes or the Swedes or somebody found?
And these bombs were so old and so beat up, it wouldn't take, you know, anybody with any bit of common sense would know that they wouldn't work. They've been hiding them for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And they finally dug them up, and now they know that this is the weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, yeah. You better believe, John, that Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of them were saying, oh, please, please, please let these show up positive.
Yeah, but the thing of it is that they kept playing this over and over and over again. So they're feeding these people these lies, you know, on a continuous basis. This guy, some of these people that called, you know, they should spend a little bit of time watching C-SPAN or some of the other programs, at least trying to get some information. I heard Hannity the other night, and I was driving along. I turned him on every once in a while. I can only stand him for a few minutes, and I go to something else. But he said that we are so lucky that George Bush is a gift from God. He is an actual, he was knighted by God to come here and take care of America. You know, that's how we got him. God sent him.
I hate it when I hear that. I just hate it when I hear that. That's the propaganda of the worst kind. And you know, John, the shame of it is, and you know it as well as I do, there are a lot of people swallowing it, hook, line, and sinker.
They have to be. But the other thing is they call themselves talk shows. They don't talk with anybody else. They're preaching all the time. One woman got on, and I guess she must have told them the falsehoods when they were screening her, and she got on and was disagreeing with them, and he said, you couldn't have said that to my screeners.
Oh, yeah, they hate it when someone comes on and starts to make sense. Yeah. They use that as a, you know, we don't have a screener.
No, I know.
We got raw phone calls coming in from our producer out there. He types them up on the list here as they come in, who they are, where they're from, and how long they've been waiting, and what time it is and everything. There's not a one of them be screened. Now, we've had some that should have been screened.
Yeah, I think so. But I didn't spend too much time with them, you know. They don't.
Oh, yeah. John, we have to go. We're coming up on the top of the hour.
I know you do. It's been a great show. I'm glad to hear you. Stay
Thank you, John. Bye. It's great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
That's the president of the Collier County Democratic Club.
Thank you much.
Always great to hear from John. Well, we've come down to the end of another program. Didn't get through a fourth of the stuff I wanted to talk about today. There's so much going on in the political world right now. But once again, I want to implore each and every one of you to think, to reason, to search and keep looking for all the information. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Thank you, and join us again next week.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.